much about.
I'm John McCain, and I approve this message.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
J-Lo's new song, Jenny from the Block, all about Lopez roots, about how she's still a neighborhood gal at heart. But folks from that street in New York, the Bronx section, sound more likely to give her a curb job than a boja or block party. The New York Post, well, sorry about that slip up there. I have no idea how that happened, but it won't happen again. And that's your news.
It didn't go so well.
No. No, it did not.
This don't make much sense, does it? We're at war with the Middle East, but we want somebody for president with a name like Barack Hussein Obama? Give us a break.
What you gotta say now, bitch? What you gotta say now? You ain't got shit to say, motherfucker. What you gotta say? What you gotta say, bitch? What you gotta say? What you gotta say, bitch?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Nice sausage.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Antigonish, Nova Scotia. Hello.
Roll another one.
Dope. You guys keeping this party going?
Just like the other one.
Hungry like the vagina.
This one seems to be about
talk about cocaine for a second.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
You are a thief of joy.
Roll another one.
That's a nappy headed hose there.
Just like.
That's right.
This one seems to be about it.
Britney Spears, what about it?
I don't have another cent.
How'd you know I have pop?
Plenty of Mountain Dew and Doritos, please.
Oh, yeah.
But the one guard that joined.
I'm not really unfamiliar with the poll.
Just pass it around.
Yes, I do respect wood.
But the one guard that joined, my friend.
Really?
And now,
we're on in 10 seconds, so get ready to have a good time. Here we go. This is exciting, isn't it?
Our feature presentation.
I may have misjudged my medicine in the middle of the night, and I am extremely high right now.
Awesome.
Really, really loopy. Like,
yeah!
Dizzy loopy.
Woohoo!
I have no idea what I'm going to say or do in the next few minutes, because yeah. I'm really, like, high.
Now you know how Kevin feels every day of his life.
Now, finally, maybe you have a little sympathy for how the vanilla gorilla works on a regular basis.
This is not an easy way to concentrate and come up with, what are they called, those things?
Words?
Words, that's it. Yeah, it's not an easy way to do it.
Oh, this is going to be a good show, people. Just bust the knob off your radios right now. Lock it in, because is going to be a fun 4 hours.
My plan is to start eating as much as I can to try to soak some of it up, but I just...
That's what you do when you're high, man. You get the munchies.
Right. I do. Thank you. I so wanted to sleep, and I was just... it got to be pushing 3 a.m., and I wasn't able to sleep at all, and I was just coughing, and I think it's pneumonia now. And so I just started just powering down whatever medicine I could find. I didn't care if it was my medicine, the dog's medicine, whatever it was.
Good idea.
I'm taking everything. And it's just my eyes are all bonkers, and I don't know what the hell's going on.
Look, crazy. If it's called medicine, it's got to be good for you. So you should just take whatever you can see.
As much as you want.
Anything labeled medicine, just take it.
Exactly. That's what I did. So I got uppers. I got downers. I took a little bit of this. I took two of the red and one of the blue.
You're not on goofballs, are you?
I think I am.
Oh,
I think
no.
I'm all of it.
He's hopped up on goofballs.
Yeah. And then I smoked some meth after that just to, as a chaser. I thought that would work. I mean, because that meth never hurt anybody.
Can you imagine being really on meth?
Meth Chaser was my old radio name, by the way, when I first got into the business.
So so we'll see how it goes. I'm giving a little bit of a warning now that if I say anything that's offensive, at least I can blame it on blame it on the drugs.
Ralph, you're really good at like manipulating people with words. Let's try to get Bean to do stuff and say things that he wouldn't normally say.
Let's ask Bean a lot of questions, yes. which normally we would never do,
yes,
because we don't want him to volunteer information. But in this case, it might be fun.
I am this close to David after Dentist. I mean, I am seriously looking out around the room going, is this real life? I mean, that's how I feel right now.
Are the unicorns taking you to the land of blueberries?
Yes, they are, as a matter of fact.
Sweet.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. We're going to take your calls for Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew. I actually had an awesome story to start with, but Kevin and Bean listener Armin is going to get us going there first, and
Armin,
we'll discuss. Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, what it do, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
So, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
Saturday, May 8th, that's a week from tomorrow at the NOS Event Center, is Dr. Green Thumb's Spring Gathering. That's your prize, hosted by Be Real. Method Man will be there, Red Man, Cottonmouth Kings, Revolution, Fishbone, Head PE, and so much more. Go to springgathering.com. That's your prize. I do sound better today, though, right?
You do sound better.
Voice is definitely stronger, right? Yep. Let's talk to Armin. This was an awesome story yesterday, and welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. What it do, my friend?
Glendale!
What it do, human beings, and it's Armin.
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 I'm not Armin. Armin. No, sorry.
I apologize. Well, you got Delta Raw name then. I'm sorry about that.
Armin, if we got married, you'd be Armin Garmin. How cool would that be?
That'd be horrible. That has to be horrible.
Your last name isn't Hammer, is it?
You know what? It might as well be. Anyway.
You've heard them all. All right, tell us the awesome story that you're calling with.
All right, so it kind of goes in line with what you guys were talking about yesterday with the whole, younger people dating older people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There's a 26-year-old who's dating a 72-year-old.
Wow.
Hold on. It's his biological grandmother.
What?
Please explain.
What happened was she had a child, his mother, when she was young, and gave her up for adoption, and then he kind of sought her out later on in his life, found her, and they just kind of fell in love, I guess.
Wow. I just threw up.
Oh,
wow.
My God.
And they're all, she's also pregnant, by the way. They're also having a child.
Stop it.
She's not pregnant yet. They're having a surrogate.
Oh, surrogate's gonna carry their egg.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was a surrogate. Yeah, but they are having a child together.
Yeah,
I didn't know until I saw the articles on this yesterday. And tell me if you saw this, Armin, that there is something that is called, I think it's called
PSA.
genetic sexual attraction that happens between adult family members who meet as adults.
Yeah,
and for some reason they oftentimes are attracted to one another even though they're related.
What part of the world is this in?
Florida.
It's in Florida, yeah.
That was just a guess. That was a random guess, but I thought it might have to be Florida.
No, I think it was because they mentioned that that's kind of where he started off his search, and that's where she gave up his mother for adoption.
Man.
So, look, I think the fact that he's 26 and she's 72 is far grosser than the fact that they are biologically related because they didn't know each other. It's not like they had any kind of a relationship together. You know, but that's a weird story all around. I'll tell you that. And you can imagine the rest of the family, not supportive, not really behind this relationship.
Oh, they're so uptight. So uptight, those people.
It'll be over with soon.
It's true. Grandma's not long for this world.
Oh, yeah. How about that? Let's try Jerry. He's on line 6, and I know he is calling about something that Ralph is hot for today. Hey, Jerry, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
How you guys doing? How it do?
How it do?
What's going on?
What it do, Jerry?
That's a lot of O's right there.
Hey, Mosley Mayweather.
Yes,
big
sir.
Upset this weekend. Big upset.
Big upset. You're picking Sugar Shane over money?
I think he's going to definitely pull it off. He's going to work the body. He's going to just stay on the body and make that... Do his thing.
All right.
That is incredible boxing analysis.
Is this Jim Lampley?
Oh, you're like a young Larry Merchant.
Where's Mike at? Is Mike there?
I'm right here. What's up?
Mike, it doesn't matter how much you cry, they're never going to get back together, dude.
Yeah, Mike.
I honestly don't know what that's a reference to.
I have no idea either.
Your butt cheeks, dummy.
Your butt cheeks.
All right.
Ralph, where's this fight being shown?
Vegas. It's in Vegas. It's pay-per-view. Yeah, HBO pay-per-view. I think Jerry may have a point. I think if Mosley can hurt him early in the fight,
it could be a big upset. But if it goes the distance, I gotta go with Mayweather.
Well, if Mayweather does his running around, of course, it's the same. But that's what I think Sugar Shane's going to have just to work the body. If you watch the 24-7, all he studied was a fight between Mayweather and Jose Luis Castillo, which is the only fight he really lost. If you look at that fight, he lost that fight. They gave it to him, Jim Lampley. Everybody was upset with the decision. Nobody really looked at that fight, and I was surprised that Sugar Shane was studying that fight, particularly where he forgot about the head and just went to the body.
Yeah, but you got to catch Mayweather to hit him. That's the only problem.
Oh, he'll catch him. He's not that fast.
He's pretty well.
Thanks a lot, guys.
See you, Jerry.
The caller yesterday said this is the most high-profile, exciting, potentially great boxing match in a long time.
Yeah, this is the best matchup in terms of, fights are all about styles, and fighters, great fights are made by matching up fighters with great styles, and these two really match up well. It should be good.
And it does seem that the MMA leagues have the premier fighters anymore.
Well, but it's not about stars. That, the sport is more exciting. MMA is more exciting. Just it's built that way. Boxing is more of a game of attrition sometimes, where MMA is more action packed. So boxing definitely needs a shot in the arm with a really quality fight, because there's a lot of bad boxing and a lot of bad fights out there. So
that's a great.
And I also think that to gain the interest of Americans, there needs to be another great heavyweight, or at least a collection of them.
The heavyweight division has been anemic for some time now.
Let's do one more. We shouldn't, but it's too great. Chris is on line four. Let's have the 30-second version, Chris, of what happened to you.
What it do, nephew, baby boo.
What it do?
All right, quick story. Last Saturday, we had a party. All of us got pretty wasted. Girlfriend wasn't around that time. She was out with her friends. So her sister was out with us, and her sister passed out in our bed. And so I went in. Pretty drunk, went in, started fooling around, and one thing led to another. Next morning we wake up and I notice it's her sister laying there, and there's a couple other people laying in the room. So I'm like, oh man, I think I just handled
all right, hang on. So you had sex with your girlfriend's sister. You guys were both drunk or high, and you did not know you were having sex with your girlfriend's sister at the time.
Well, she didn't know. I knew about halfway through because she's got dark hair. My girlfriend's blonde.
Well, then you didn't accidentally sleep with her. You knew what you were doing.
Her sister is gorgeous, though. If you
okay then she's hot.
Always had the hots for her sister. So, at first I didn't know.
You accidentally didn't stop.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
He accidentally finished.
Has your girlfriend found out about it yet?
She has not, and her sister all week. It's almost been a week now, so. It's been kind of awkward all week, and it just so happens last night we stayed at her sister's, her parents' house with her sister, and we all slept in the same bed, and the whole night I kind of was rubbing a foot on her or something, kind of see if she remembered anything, but she hasn't said one word to me all week.
You're playing with fire here, dude.
I know.
You should have made a move in bed with your girlfriend next to you. That would have been great.
Oh, man, that would have been ideal.
Yeah.
I say threesome. Come
That's
on.
That's what I say, too. Come on.
Sounds like it's heading in that direction.
Then call your grandmother. Then find your grandmother in Florida and throw her in the mix.
I heard that one. That was woo.
Let me ask you this, Charlie in the Chocolate Factory. How come your whole family sleeps in the same bed? What's that about?
Well, it was last night. We just happened to stay there. My girlfriend actually had surgery, so we were staying there
in the
parents' house. So we got to stay in the same bed.
Catch. All right, thank you. Hang on for your prize. I appreciate that. I've been to a lot of functions, a lot of events, stayed at a lot of people's houses. Mm-hmm. Never have I ended up with a group of 10 people in one bed. I don't even know what's going on there.
You have not lived.
I guess not. Yeah. Hey, really big Kevin and Bean show today. Really excited about the great actor Jackie Earl Haley. One of the great comeback stories in all of show business.
Yeah.
Would have barely been remembered as a child star if it hadn't been for the string of recent movies that he has been so excellent in the last few years. But he is in Nightmare on Elm Street. He's the new Freddy Krueger, and we'll talk to him on the Kevin and Bean Show today. Also, speaking of movies that you can't wait for, how about Iron Man 2? We got a way for you to win those tickets today. It's Friday. That means Ralph's got the movie beat. Adam Carolla will be here with This Week in Ratings. We're going to talk about best and worst television finales. Just with a mention yesterday on the air, we got so many emails from people. I mean, I guess if you love a show, it sticks with you forever. How that that show ends. And there's a lot of pressure to not be disappointed. And we're getting into the season now with some very high-profile shows going off the air, like 24 and Lost. Mm-hmm. So we'll be talking about that. Would you like to take that back on the program today? Who will play Ozzy Osbourne in the new movie? We've heard some interesting rumors we'll pass along. And I can't believe we don't do this every day, but it's called Psycho Mike is a Dick. It's our new feature that we're going to be debuting.
It should be Psycho Mike is a Dick question mark, though.
Nope. There's no question about it. It is a declarative sentence.
And our first look at the Showbiz Beat with Ralph Garman right after this on an all-new Kevin and Bean.
Hey! Being from Tennessee, are you as big of a fan as Paramore as I am?
106.7 well KROQ. It's the world-famous K-Rock at 5:56. Finally, Friday. Ralph Garman is here with our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Oh, just having sex with 120 women. That's all.
What?
What?
Tiger Woods has confessed, according to the National Enquirer, to having sex with 120 women outside of his marriage.
Yeah! Why would he do that?
Well, apparently this was him coming clean about his sex addiction when he was in therapy. Now, how they found this out when he was in therapy, which, of course, is supposed to be confidential, no one knows. Hmm. Maybe they're making it up. I don't care. I'm reporting it because it's awesome.
By the way, there are a lot of people who have had sex with 120 women, okay? Especially celebrities. Very few while they were married.
That's true.
Right.
Apparently, one woman he left off the list is a yet another mistress who has come forward. This woman's name is Rachel Coudray. And apparently she is the daughter of Tiger's neighbor in Florida. According to Sports by Brooks website, Tiger allegedly slept with her when she was 21 years old, living next door to him in Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We, when that story came forward, we talked about how dangerous that one was because they sometimes would make out within view of his house. In the neighborhood, they'd get together and make out. Like, how stupid is this guy?
Stupid.
All.
Apparently, Elin is now officially looking into divorce, according to sources close to the couple. Word is she may be seeking a $500 million settlement.
Wow.
That's a lot of money.
That sure is.
All right, let's talk about sex. Speaking of sex addiction, Hugh Hefner, maybe one of America's experts on sex, told Us Weekly magazine regarding Tiger and Jesse James that sex addiction, he thinks, is a hoax. This whole idea that it's a sex addiction when these men are acting out is a cop-out, Hugh Hefner said. I think he has to be the decider on this one, doesn't he? Hugh Hefner says there's no sex addiction, there's no sex addiction. Because he would
I don't know. Dr. Drew says there is, and he's the smartest man in the world.
Dr. Drew is a buzzkill.
I think in regards to Jesse James and Tiger, I think it is kind of a cop-out. Now, I do think there is really sex addiction, and some people suffer from it. But these are the guys that are on the internet 9 hours a day and doing their thing with themselves till they bleed.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Whereas,
Tiger, not able to keep a job or work or a relationship.
And ditching school to go and buy prostitutes. So, which we're hearing about with high school kids nowadays. Those are
sexy.
You
can buy them? In my days, you used to rent them. I didn't know you could actually get them.
You get to keep them now.
That is so much better.
And things are crazy nowadays. But these are the people that I think are suffering from what is the classical sex addiction.
Are people who run their businesses, get their jobs done, and have a lot of sex.
Yeah, and that's just happen to really like sex.
I hate to agree with Mike, but I think
that's
right.
That's an interesting point.
These are guys with, as was said recently about Ben Roethlisberger, has the moral conduct of a hyena. Doesn't mean you have a sexual addiction. Chad Ochocinco is on Dancing with the Stars. His partner is Cheryl Burke. Rumors have been floating around for some time now that they are a couple.
A couple.
He recently gave her a $10,000 diamond ring, and Us Weekly asked her about it and the relationship. And when asked if she was they were a couple, she only smiled coyly to the reporter, would not answer one way or the other. That's a yes.
Yeah.
Well done, Chad Ochocinco.
But there's never been a celebrity on Dancing with the Stars who has not been linked to his or her dance partner.
And usually they're banging. That's why.
That's true.
Robert Downey Jr., of course, starring in Iron Man 2 coming up next week. We've got your tickets you can win later on into the show today. His drug addiction, he addresses in Rolling Stone magazine, an interview that comes out this week. Apparently, he started his addiction pretty early. Robert Downey, his dad, began giving him drugs when he was 8 years old.
What?
Robert Jr. claims.
His dad was kind of like a hippie, artsy, what's the word for that? Those kind of
Bohemian?
People. Bohemian, that's it.
What kind of drugs does it say?
I think it was just pot. You know, he's an 8-year-old. Just give him pot. You start him out with the pot.
F*** hippies. I mean, period. F*** hippies. Been saying that my whole life. Be saying it until I die. F*** hippies.
But he also
you don't waste the good stuff on your kids. You save that for yourself.
That's right. He starts talking about the fact that he started doing cocaine with his dad and Jack Nicholson at one point. How cool is that?
So rad.
And then he said when he got involved with heroin, that was really the beginning of the end. Said all those years of snorting coke, but then I finally accidentally got involved with heroin after smoking crack for the first time. He said it finally tied my shoelaces together. That was his downfall. Mm. But he's been sober now for 7 years and says he plans to stay that way. Unless someone comes up with some really good drugs. No, he doesn't say that. Today's celebrity birthday, Kirsten Dunst is 28 years old today.
Oh, no.
Johnny Galecki, very talented actor from The Big Bang Theory, is 35. Akon celebrates his 37th birthday. Adrian Pasdar of Heroes is 41. Willie Nelson celebrates his 77th birthday. And
how about that?
Actress Cloris Leachman, who has been around for a long time, Oscar-nominated actress, big TV star, and she was in movies as well, is 84 years old.
Wow.
Bean?
Not a Cloris fan, to tell you the
truth.
But
she's old.
I know. I do like old people. Never really had much of a connection. She, of course, was a Dancing with the Stars contestant within the last couple of years.
Yeah,
she was. Still in pretty good shape for her age.
Broke a hip, I think, during a tango. I'm Ralph Garman. I'll walk the showbiz.
Damon Albarn, I'm sorry we got disconnected the other day, man. You okay? You all right with us?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Because it was a good interview. It was really exciting.
Yeah,
it was riveting.
It's kind of, I'm really, I'm feeling good.
You were giving us a lot of really good information before the phone disconnected.
It's great doing the video.
Yeah, if you missed it, you didn't miss it. All right, it's the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. Psycho Mike is a dick.
Yes.
I mean, that's something we can pretty much all agree on.
Slam dunk.
Now I believe we actually have proof.
Well, I don't know about that.
Tell us your little story you were telling us in the office the other day.
Normally, when there's conflict in my life, I automatically assume I'm wrong because I'm me, and you guys have, you know, kind of
brainwashed. I wish that was true. I wish that was really true.
It is
true. I wish that was something you weren't just saying, but it was actually true.
No, I mean that.
Because usually you're the 100% guy. You're that guy. Whatever you do, you think you're 100%
right. I'm not talking about arguments with you guys who are always wrong. I'm talking about in my daily life when I encounter things that I wonder if I'm right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But this time, I feel like there's room for discussion. I was at the supermarket. And there was one lady in front of me, and I put my basket down. I only had a couple items, and they were in a basket.
A couple.
And they were in a basket.
Right.
And this was not a supermarket that had, like, a conveyor belt. It just had the tray next to the checker that you could put your basket up, you know, mm-hmm. before she checked it in.
Right.
So the lady in front of me was finishing up, and I put my basket on that little tray, and everything's fine. I realized I had forgotten something. So I ran back, and I must have taken me less than 30 seconds to run and get the other item I was looking for. And when I came back, there was a gentleman who had put his cart
up. Before his horse?
He put his cart up next to the checker to get in line as well.
Right.
I cut around him. I say, excuse me, sir, and I go behind him and then put my other item in front of the checker and get ready to be checked out. And he looks at me and says, hey, what are you doing? And I said, excuse me? He said, what are you doing? You're cutting in front of me. And I said, oh, no, I'm not actually. My stuff was already here. And he said, no, man. You either stay in line or you don't.
Ooh, hardcore.
And then the checker defended me. She said, no, sir, he had his stuff here. He was in line. He just forgot something. And the guy goes, oh, anybody else forget anything? Anybody else want to get in line in front of me? Anybody else around here and not in line, but really in line? Jeez, if I would have known that this guy was in front of me, I wouldn't have gotten this line. I thought I was, and he just starts blowing up.
Yeah.
Wow.
And like I said, I mean, normally I just assume I'm wrong in situations like this. But something struck me as if I was in the right here, and this guy was just a rage-filled moron. And isn't it okay to do that, to put your stuff down and kind of, if you forget something, go and get it? I don't know.
And you didn't hold up the line, I'm taking it.
No,
the woman in front of you was still finishing paying.
She was exactly. Yeah. She was still like writing on her credit card receipt as I was coming up with the items that I forgot.
I am not a big fan of the leaving the food to hold your place in line when you go get something else. I'm not a big fan of that.
Because, I support you, though.
Because I think what is your hurry that you can't possibly get to the back of the line if you need to go shopping and get something else?
Okay.
You were holding a basket. How much stuff was in your basket that you were in line with?
Honestly, like 4 items.
Right. So just take your basket that you have. Oh, crap. I forgot to do something. My bad. I'm bad.
because I forgot to do something for my shopping.
Okay.
You take your basket with your stuff in it, you get out of the line, you go shop and do whatever you need to do, and then you get into another line and you pay for your stuff.
Okay. I'm truly...
I don't think it's at all unusual for people to realize as they're at the checkout line that they've forgotten something. And run and go get it, especially if they're not going to hold up the line. I mean, I'm very conscious of not holding up the line, but I've done that plenty of times.
Well, you're part of the
problem. It's not a big
deal.
No,
this didn't change the speed of anybody being checked out at all. I mean, I ran, I got one thing, came back.
It did now, for that dude who got in line who didn't know you were there. Changed his speed.
And his thing was, his whole argument.
He had four things. It would have taken him a second.
His whole argument was that he wouldn't even have gotten in that line because he thought he was going right to the front.
For sure.
Now.
Right. He was very excited. You know how exciting it gets when you're in a supermarket and you see an empty checker line and you know you're the next guy? Oh, it's the best feeling
in the
world.
Here's the thing, though. He had 140 items.
Right.
So it's not like I don't feel like it's right for me to go and get behind this guy just because I forgot one thing.
Because you're you, and you should always be in front of everyone.
Come on.
It's not like he plants a basket there and then runs to get one thing and throws it in and then runs away and gets another thing and throws it in.
They weren't going over the intercom saying, guy with the with the broccoli and flax seeds, could you please come back? We're holding and waiting for you.
You're buying broccoli and flaxseed. You're a dick.
I know. Yeah. that's been established. Yeah. But I didn't know. I wanted to come to you guys and see what your feelings were, because I was kind of up in the air. Whenever anybody yells at you like that in public, I'm wondering whether or not I've stepped outside my boundaries.
The guy overreacted, obviously. But I'm also, like I said, I'm not a big fan of the people who leave their stuff in line to go get something else and then come back. I'm just not a big fan of that. You're shopping or you're in line. You're one or the other.
Oh,
can't do both.
Can't do both. Good deal.
I can see why the guy was disappointed, because he thought he was next. I can understand where he's coming from. Ralph is absolutely right. The guy absolutely did overreact. And he wouldn't have minded at all had you been a hot chick, by the way, who'd come back to that
match.
But because it's Psycho Mike, I have to declare
Psycho Mike
is a dick. I'm sorry.
Mike's a dick. Psycho Mike's a dick.
In fact, I think we've got a song about it, don't we?
Mike's a dick, dick, dick. What a dick, dick, dick. Mike's a dick, dick, dick. He thinks he's always right and he's a dick. What a dick, dick, dick. Mike's a dick, dick, dick. Mike's a dick, dick, dick. And he's also a douchebag. Mike's a dick, 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 dick. That guy would have punched you in the face. Dick, 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 dick. Mike, you're such a dickity dick. Mike, Mike, you're a giant dick.
And you're gay.
Mike, you're a giant dick.
And you're gay.
Mike, you're a giant dick.
And you're gay.
Mike, you're a giant dick. Dick, dickity dick. I want to punch you in the face.
Oh, wow.
You're such
and you're gay.
Wow. That song was by the guy you cut in front of the line.
I guess.
106.7 KROQ. It's 6:26. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, Foo Fighters and Johnny Cash coming up in the next half hour.
Beans, hi, everybody.
I am so loopy right now. You have no idea. Right now, though, time for a little fun. We like to call, would you like to take that back?
Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you take that back? Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you take that back?
First of all, Ralph Garman, the catchiest theme song in the history of the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh,
unfortunately,
thanks.
People hear it once, they can never, ever get it out of their heads.
That's all popcorn, man. It's not me.
Second of all, here's what we do. We do 25 hours of live radio every week, and let's face it, not everything goes as planned. We hear it in our head, and man, is it funny. Then we see it on the radio, and man, is it not.
Yeah.
So this gives us the opportunity to kind of scrub the record a little bit and take it back. So, Psycho Mike, you got a few examples for us of things that we're going to be debating whether or not to give up or not.
On the show, as the weeks go by, there's different themes that change with the show, and by pulling these clips of Would You Like to Take That Back, I've realized that the recent theme is Bean and I suck. I mean, we're really, really bad, and okay. that everybody else is pretty good.
That's a recent theme?
Yeah. All
right.
The first one, the Bret Michaels story has been tragic. It's been unfolding very recently, and Ralph was discussing the Bret Michaels story and his aneurysm in showbiz, and Bean came up with this gem.
A brain bleed that apparently will lead to seizures for Bret Michaels.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, every rose has its thorn. Ralph.
Oh, my effing God.
What? I'm saying.
Wow.
And in that voice.
Yeah, really.
Don't you really choose your gems?
Adding insult to injury.
Would you like to take that back?
The point is that, yeah.
Would you like to take that back?
We don't really
need. He has brain bleeding, but he's alive.
We don't need a description of what you said.
We understood it.
And it is a poison song. We get that.
We got that?
We got it. We understand.
I'm going to stand by that.
He is.
I am. I'm going to live with that.
You are relentless.
It was Sheena Easton's birthday recently, and Ralph was doing the celebrity birthdays, and here I come.
And she was a good singer, too. I wonder what happened to Sheena. I wonder if she's still performing around.
She is.
She was a punk rocker.
Wow. Wow. By all.
Usually, Would You Like to Take It Back is like a big sort of a groaner pun because it's such an obvious reference. But that was sort of like an obscure reference on top of being horrible.
Yeah, it was a reference
it really
to
was.
A Ramon song.
Yeah, but it's not like a wildly popular lyric.
Would you like to take that back?
Yeah, I'll take that one back.
Good wow, choice. Right. Good for you. That's the first step, by the way.
It is.
Admitting that you have a problem.
Yeah, it's very true, Ralph. Yeah. Casey Kasem is probably most famous for hosting a countdown show.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where this bean gem came from.
Casey Kasem, legendary DJ, announcer, legendary animation voice.
It seems like he should get younger every year, doesn't it, on his birthday, Ralph?
Because he's counting down?
Yeah, because the numbers would go lower.
I'm hoping. Yes. I don't even have time to mark that.
Wow.
Oh, God. Right.
That was a bad idea, poorly executed.
Would you like to take that back?
Yeah, I take that one back.
Yeah,
I'm sorry that happened. I did a bad thing.
Although, I'll tell you, that night, David Letterman did a joke about Casey Kasem's birthday, and he said he's up a spot from last year. See? Because that's how he
but
counts.
Much, well
much better joke.
Yeah, it is better executed.
Much better.
We were having a discussion about the marriage ref yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody in the show
likes
it.
Jerry Seinfeld produced the show.
Right.
Hosted by comedian Tom Papa.
Some people like it. Some people don't.
Yeah.
I decided to run with my take on the host, Tom Papa.
The way that they do.
Yeah, I suppose.
I like Tom Papa. I'll say that. I don't know if I
really?
Know. You're not a fan of Tom Papa?
Interesting.
I love it when you call me Tom Papa.
He is
fi all. I think the only reason Mike brought that up is so that he can say that.
Get that joke in.
Yeah. Because 15 years ago, that's similar to a Notorious B.I.G. lyric.
Would you like to take that back?
Like when you call me Big Papa.
I will take that back.
Good.
And I'm almost embarrassed about it because listening back, I can hear myself laughing as that joke came into my head.
Yeah. And I don't get the sense you're really a fan of Tom Papa. I think you were just setting yourself up. You were rallying your own oop was what you were doing.
No, I have to sit back. I have to admit, I do like Tom Papa. The genesis of the comment was not
once
that
again,
I...
Once again, we really don't need a description of your...
Would you like to take that back?
Yes, I would like to take that back.
Right.
And I actually apologize for that. All right, and the final one in this session of Would You Like to Take That Back is one of the worst ever. We were doing the phone-in topic of have you ever been stuck in an elevator?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And Bean just derailed the entire show with this crap of a joke.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. If you were stuck in an elevator, and if you were living it up when you're going down, we want to hear from you.
Whoa.
And the delivery and
he, too, was laughing before he even got
he
that
was.
Out, by the way. He
would thought, you like to take that back?
Oh, I am See, just so clever, he thought, as he said
Aerosmith
that.
Aerosmith had a song called Love in an Elevator,
Once
and that's
again,
the lyric.
Got it. We know.
Everybody
would you like to take that back?
Everybody
would you like to take that back?
All right,
would
I'll
you
take
like
it back.
To take
yes!
Back?
Yeah! Yes, I'll take it back.
All right, it has been another rousing rendition of Would You Like to Take That Back.
Here's a name you haven't heard in a while. George W. Bush. Do you guys remember him?
Nope.
Kinda.
Think hard. Before
I
the black
I
guy.
I do.
He was the president.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He really fell off the face of the earth, man. When he got out of office, you very, very rarely see him. And one of the reasons is he has been busy writing his new book that is going to be coming out this fall. It is called Decision Points. and it's going to be focusing on 14 decisions that he made that were difficult decisions and how he arrived at those decisions during his 8 years in the White House. And as a political junkie, I will read this book. It sounds fascinating to me. And we thought, how about a preview of the book with the former president on the phone with us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's been a while since we caught up with Mr. Bush. Hey, George, how are you? So some things haven't changed in retirement, huh? You okay?
Yeah.
Sounds great.
I can drink now publicly in the open. No one judges me.
Right, but you are still a recovering alcoholic, though, so it seems like maybe sobriety would still be good for you physically.
It's recovering, not recovered.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Well, Mr. Bush, it was big news this weekend when it was announced that your book is coming out. I guess that's one of the reasons we haven't seen much of you in public, because you've been hard at work writing this thing, right?
Been working on the book. Been busy revising, correcting, making sure all the words have the proper spellology.
Right, you gotta, that's very important.
And then, of course, yeah. And we're pretty proud of it. Pretty proud of how it turned out, quite frankly.
Hey, you were president during a very difficult time in America's history. I'm sure people will be interested to hear how you, your reflections on things like 9/11 and Katrina and things like that.
Yeah, and I had to make some tough decisions, too.
Right.
I was the decider. You have to make a decision or a decision.
Decision. You got it right the first time.
Between hard, hard choices when you're the president. It's difficult, and it's hard to do, especially when you drink a lot, because things get fuzzy.
Sure.
But I don't have to tell you that, do I? Like
no, I certainly know that. What are some of the hard decisions you write about in your new book?
Well, the big ones would, of course, first come to mind, I guess, when you're thinking about my administration. Team Edward or Team Jacob?
You handled that in the book, do you?
Yeah, it was hard. I really had to weigh the issues. You know, vampires are good, but werewolves, scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what do you do with that?
You had to be able to judge between those two things and make a clear-cut decision.
Well, that's why you're the president.
That's why I went with Jacob.
Oh, Jacob was your choice.
Yeah. Interesting.
Okay. He's buff.
True.
He's buff.
Yeah.
Right. I finally had to come to grips with East Coast, West Coast. Biggie or Tupac.
Really?
Well, I had to make a decision. It wasn't easy.
But I wouldn't have expected that in the book.
Well, you're going to have to read the book to see who I chose. I don't want to say it publicly.
Oh,
because
okay.
I do not want to get shot.
All right. I understand. Yeah.
Pirates or ninjas. It's a tough one.
This is the type of thing. Didn't you get paid millions of dollars for this book, and you're writing about whether you like pirates or ninjas?
I mean, pirates are cool, but ninjas are stealthy.
Right.
It's hard to decide. Mounds or almond joy. Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. How do I feel at any given moment? I made the tough decision. Should Paul Abdul leave American Idol or not?
Okay, but no one goes to buy your book to find out about American Idol. They want to hear about history.
Pepsi or Coke? I was torn. I had to make a decision. Who was my favorite Spice Girl?
Oh, wow.
I mean, scary, definitely was an early leader, but I had to look at all of them. I had to look at all five of them, break them down.
So this is what you did with your time in the White House. Oh, Ginger's the one you chose?
Yeah.
She's your favorite. Okay.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think people would be surprised with all the things that were going on during your administration, all the hard work you had to do, that you would even have time to think about things like ninjas and Pepsi and Spice Girls.
Well, that was the hard work. That's what I'm talking about. It was hard.
I see. That's what you did instead of worrying about the other stuff.
That step was easy.
I see.
You know,
I gotcha.
Weapons of mass destruction, whatever. What about whether Brett Favre should retire or not? I mean, those are the hard questions.
I can't wait to hear what you had to say about that.
Someone had to tell me who Brett Favre was.
I would find a way.
106.7. K-Rock.
Bean's a lot more fun when he's high at work.
103.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. Ralph Garman is here with another look at the show biz beat. What's going on?
Well, finally, the movie we've all been waiting for. Paramount Pictures announced yesterday in connection with Mattel Toys. Magic 8 Ball, the movie.
Yay!
Magic 8 Ball, the movie.
But not really.
Oh, but really.
But not really.
But what would the plot of that
be? Come on, really? Are we out? Are they?
Well, if it's really magic.
That was about 1,000 screenwriters here in Los Angeles blowing their brains out. I just heard it.
when they heard this news. Of course, Paramount's already in business with Mattel on Max Steel, their toy line. They're going to be doing that with Taylor Lautner will be Max Steel. And they've already scored hits with the Hasbro toys, G.I. Joe and Transformers, so I guess they figure, why not? The Magic 8-Ball. See, Lisa, you shake it when you have a question, and then the answer comes up in the window, and you read it, and you say, try again later. Okay. And then the guy just sits there on the screen for a while, and then he shakes the ball again. It's going to be very exciting.
It doesn't take a real genius to realize Hollywood has officially run out of ideas.
It really has. When they get to the Magic 8-Ball... Well, no, I guess Etch-A-Sketch, the movie. That would be when they're really out of ideas.
Don't say it out loud.
I know.
Oh,
damn it.
Oh, God.
Now we're screwed.
Going to happen.
Time magazine every year releases their list of the top 100 most influential people. A designation that broadly defines, as they put it, people who most affect our world.
Okay.
There's no top 10 list. It's an entire 100, and they break it down into different categories. Leaders, heroes, artists, and thinkers. Some of the people on the list... In the world of show business this year, Lady Gaga, which I think is fair.
Yeah.
Steve Jobs, of course. How could you not with the iPad being so popular? Sandra Bullock, certainly front and center in our minds. Simon Cowell, Leah Michelle from Glee, Conan O'Brien. Mm. But this is something a little different this year, which I thought was interesting, which was the list of most uninfluential people. And they broke it down into four categories. The 100 most uninfluential people. Losers, morons, flameouts, and slimy bastards.
Ooh, I like it.
Which I thought was interesting. Just some of the names I think we could all agree on in the loser category. Professional wrestling referees they put down there. Because they never really seem to enforce the rules and no one really knows what they are.
Okay.
I think it's valid. Rue McClanahan on the list. Oh, and I don't know why.
Really?
That's sad.
Yes. I thought that was an interesting choice. In the moron category, Heidi Montag.
Excellent.
Spencer Pratt.
Great.
Paula Abdul. Brian Dunkelman, Joaquin Phoenix, Carrie Prejean, Nadia Suleiman, Tom Likas. List goes on and on in flameouts. Katie Couric, Carrot Top, Carson Daly, Witches, any mother of any eighth grade girl, Christy Hefner, Mayor McCheese. It's an interesting list. And in Slimy Bastards, you've got, of course, John Gosselin.
Yeah.
John Edwards. Lindsay Lohan, Michael Lohan, and on and on. Tila Tequila.
All people you never want to hear from again, basically. Yeah. That's what that list
Great
is.
List. So you may check it out at time.com. It's very funny.
The one that surprises me, and I know why they said Katie Couric, because she had all that controversy after the Palin interview. But, yeah. I mean, she is a major network news anchor and 60 Minutes correspondent.
Yes.
And she is actually out there doing things.
I think they feel, though, as a news anchor, she really doesn't carry much weight. Usually
yeah.
the network
the
network anchors really usually carry a lot of weight when it comes to shaping public opinion. And I think they feel, as an anchor, she's a bit of a loser because she really doesn't fulfill that role, unlike most
that's
of them.
That's a great point. It's not even like a few years ago when there was Brokaw and Jennings and people like that, that folks really cared about what they thought.
Yeah,
you're right.
Absolutely. And lastly, the beat goes on. Justin Bieber. Bieber mania. Continues to sweep the nation.
I know Omar loves him, right?
I hate that douchebag.
Omar asked us if we could get him on the show. He begged us, can we please interview him on the show?
No,
and we said, all right, for you, Omar, we'll look into it. We'll see.
You know they call themselves the Beliebers?
Oh,
the
fans. That's right, yeah.
Come on with that, dude.
Now I love him. Now I love him more than ever.
Oh, God.
Omar, you would like this kid a lot more if you'd go to the very popular website, Lesbians Who Look Like Justin Bieber. I think that's what you need to turn it around.
All right. After this, I'm going there.
Anyway, AbsoluteNow.com asked Justin what kind of girls he likes, and he says he loves older women. In fact, he said he has a big... Well, they're all older, aren't they?
Yeah, what,
I guess all women are older
like
than Justin Bieber. No, he likes them old. He said he has a crush on Kim Kardashian.
Wow.
He's got to be,
what, 25?
Yeah. Don't we all?
She's nearly twice his age, by the way, so she's 30 or something.
Screw this kid.
He said he won't date anyone over 40, though.
Oh, really?
He draws the line.
That's
like,
big
he's
of him.
Got options. A lot of 40-year-olds trying to hunt down Justin Bieber.
I got Bieber fever.
Yeah, we all do. We're all Beliebers.
Oh, God.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Cloris Leachman. She was on Dancing with the Stars recently. She has been in a bunch of TV and movies. She is 84 years old today. Willie Nelson is 77 years old. Actor Adrian Pasdar from Heroes is 41. Akon. Celebrates his 37th birthday. Johnny Galecki, who is so funny on Big Bang Theory, is 35. And Kirsten Dunst, She celebrates her 28th birthday today. Someone get her Invisalign for her birthday, really. Seriously. Just pop in those braces. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
This hour, we have tickets for you to go see Iron Man 2. Iron Man 2, the big movie of next weekend. The big movie of this weekend, the new Nightmare on Elm Street. Couldn't be more excited to welcome to the program the new Freddy Krueger. Ladies and gentlemen, Jackie Earl Haley joins us on the Kevin Beach Show.
Hey,
how are you, Mr. Haley?
Doing good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. I know that you have been doing a ton of interviews in support of this role, and I thank you very much.
Hold on a second. Actually, didn't I just win tickets to see Iron Man?
To Iron Man?
Congratulations. You're going to see Iron Man 2.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
It's so funny. I was thinking about you and the unbelievable string of great movies you've been in the last few years, including the new one, Nightmare on Elm Street, Shutter Island, Watchmen. Everybody seems to want to hire you. Nobody seems to want to let you show your face. What's up with that?
Well, you know, I'm kind of working on that whole Lon Chaney thing, and I've got 998 parts to go.
I'll tell you, Jackie, I know we're talking about the movie, but real quickly, I would be remiss if I didn't mention how much I love Human Target and you on it. It's a great show.
Oh, thanks a lot. You know what? I really have a kick, get a kick out of doing that show. I really think they're nailing it. It's a good bit of, you know, kind of popcorn fun. It's not taking itself too seriously, and it's cool characters. The guys are nailing it.
And you get to play a real badass on that show, which is fun.
Yeah, he's very tough.
Yeah.
You know, I'll tell you, we did some reshoots on Nightmare over the Christmas holidays, and doing that and getting in that 3.5-hour makeup session, I was just sitting there missing Guerrero.
Just put the glasses on and you go.
All right, speaking about the 3.5-hour makeup session, there's a lot of baggage, physical and baggage because of the film franchise that you take on when you decide to play Freddy Krueger. It's obviously a risk for an actor to step into a role that's so identified with another actor. Why did you decide you wanted to do it?
Well, you know, there was some of that trepidation, you know, in considering this, and there was just this voice in the back of my head that kept shouting out, "How can you not play Freddy Krueger?" So excitement and honor, you know, kind of beat out the trepidation.
So you had been a fan of the franchise before you took on the role?
Not like a huge fan of it. I certainly appreciated it. I saw the first film in the theaters, and right. I was drawn into it because of the supernatural quality of it. Mm-hmm. You know, this guy that could come after you in your dreams, and if he got you and killed you, you'd die in real life. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's one of the great scary premises in all of horror films, that's for sure. And my understanding from what I've seen about your movie, Jackie, is that this is a reboot in the tradition of like when the Batman franchise came back. It's not a continuation of the old story. You're kind of starting it from ground zero, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's why there's a new Freddy. I think their concept was, hey, let's go back to the beginning. Let's start over with this. And, you know, over the years, it had kind of gotten, you know, campy and more comedic, which was great. But Sam wanted to kind of go back to the origins of what Nightmare on Elm Street was and get back to when it was more scary, you know?
From what we can tell from the trailer and commercials, Jackie, it does look like this Freddy is a little bit more serious, a little bit more grim.
Yeah, he might be a little more irked.
Irked is not the word I would have thought of, but it fits. Here's a clip from Nightmare on Elm Street opening up everywhere today, and you'll hear our guest and the creepy, creepy voice from Freddy that comes around this time.
Little Nancy, all grown up.
You're just a nightmare.
That's right. No one can prove I was ever here.
Who are you?
You don't remember. You must. You're my number one.
I set an alarm.
Yes, you did. In your dream.
Okay.
Nice.
Lisa, are you in?
No, it's too creepy. I'll never sleep again.
Is that Katie Cassidy in that scene with you, Jackie?
That was Rooney.
Oh, okay.
Tell me about...
Rooney is absolutely amazing in this film. And, you know, so are all the other young adults. They really did a good job in this thing.
Hey, any topless chicks in this version?
You know what? You got to go see the movie to find that.
Oh.
I don't know whether that means yes or no.
Wow. Torn.
Tell me about the hardware you had to wear on your hand to play Freddy.
You know what? These guys did an awesome job of redesigning the glove, and it was fashioned out of metals and aluminum, and it actually had some good weight to it, and you know, it looks a lot like what Robert had. And I would take this thing home to the apartment, actually, and kind of wear it around so that it would become a little bit second nature so that I wasn't thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the things that I was doing with the glove in the movie wasn't so much that I, you know, had worked with the glove and figured out what to do as much as I would find myself absentmindedly doing something and then go, oh, do that.
Wow. So can you, could you actually, you know, could you pick up a can of Coke or something with the hand if you needed to?
You bet. All I'd have to do is stab it.
Shotgun.
You have become such a big star at Comic-Con in recent years because of the kinds of movies that you've done. How comfortable are you with that environment and with that audience, Jackie?
You know, I have to tell you, that is like one of the coolest audiences of all time. It's taken me a while to kind of wrap my head around it. I was introduced to the comic book world in you know, with Watchmen.
Mm-hmm.
And it is this great group of people that have like a proprietary sense to the properties that they love, and they are so passionate about it. You know, they come out in the different outfits, and then you've got all of these vendors that are just awesome artists, and it's really great. And it's been a big warm fuzzy the way they've embraced me. It's been cool.
And they will love you forever, too. That's something else that you've got going for you. I mean, when you're 80, people will still want to meet you because of these movies that you're making in the first decade of the century.
Well, I never thought about that, but that's awesome.
You'll now still be able to...
Now I know I can go to Comic-Con when I'm 80.
That's right. See? It's a win-win. It's a happy ending here. The movie looks awesome. It is called A Nightmare on Elm Street. It is back with an all-new Freddy Krueger. And what a great actor Jackie Earle Haley is. And, boy, you know this. You've heard this from a million people. We're so glad to have you back and so glad that you reemerged and that we've been able to see what you've been bringing to all these movies because you're so much fun to watch and, by all accounts, just the nicest guy in showbiz, man. We really appreciate you being on the Kevin and Bean Show today.
Wow, what a thrill. And thank you so much for the kind words, you guys. It means a lot.
Take care, Jack. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, do we have to boycott that song because they're called Phoenix?
Oh, no, you didn't.
And that's where they don't like the brown man? Are we required to boycott the song now or what?
I'm boycotting you. Okay. I'm boycotting this next conversation because it's bad enough you bore us with this stuff off the air, but don't subject the listeners to it, please.
I'm high, though, Ralph. You don't understand. I'm on Vicodin. All right, listen. Real quick, Iron Man 2, see it Tuesday, even though it opens for everyone else on Friday. If you are a comic book geek and have good comic book trivia, we want to hear from you. 1-800-520-1067. Our old friend Rodney Bingenheimer, it turns out, is a huge comic book fan.
What?
And
that is shocking.
He is willing to take all comers. If you've got a comic book question, right, you can stump him. You will win tickets to Iron Man 2. We'll do that for you coming up here in just a couple minutes. Real quick, we don't have much time, Ralph, but
no.
I know how much what? What no?
I know what you want to talk about, and I told you I think this is a bad idea.
That's why
cares.
I want
to... No one cares.
The reason I want to talk about it is because this is further proof that you are wrong, that Peanuts is actually awesome.
Wrong?
Yes.
No.
Peanuts merchandise, Ralph, has annual sales of more than $2 billion.
Oh, God.
That's how popular the Charles Schulz created Peanuts world is.
Yes, and okay, the same, almost the same amount as the Hitler merchandise sells.
But wow.
Yes, believe it or not.
What I'm telling you is all the time, every time Snoopy comes up or Charlie Brown or Linus or any of those guys, you're always ragging on them and you're always, oh, they've never been funny,
never.
Blah, 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 blah.
That's the problem. Never been funny. And antiquated cartoon characters from the 30s, whenever they were made, no one, not relevant, no one cares anymore.
You couldn't be more wrong.
Peanuts are the worst.
In fact, they were hysterical in the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and now. And that's why Joe Boxer just bought licensing rights to Peanuts because they want to continue to, you know, sell their merchandise around the world generations to come.
I think the $2 billion must be like Sri Lanka or something. That's where they're buying it because I don't know. I don't see any kids wearing Snoopy T-shirts or carrying around a stuffed Lucy or anything. I don't see any modern-day American kids carrying Peanuts merchandise.
I rented stuffed Lucy, by the way. This is very good.
They are dead characters and should remain so, and this is a bad deal for Joe Boxer.
What you don't know is that happiness is a warm puppy, first of all. That's what you don't know. And second of all,
that's hysterical.
That's a line from Peanuts. Oh, isn't that funny? Peanuts, I guess, was created in the 50s or 60s, back in the day when comic strips didn't have to be funny.
Yeah. I mean, mildly
amusing, sometimes sweet, but hysterical.
Oh, the psychiatrist is in, Charlie Brown. It's just a nickel. Sit down. Tell me your troubles. Blow me.
All right. Psycho Mike, I gave you the phone number. Dial up the Joe Boxer people here because I want to get them on the phone to prove how wrong Ralph is, because what they are doing is they are introducing a bunch of new products for the 21st century kids, which I think is awesome because there's a huge market out there for Peanuts merchandise, and it's just a question of reaching them, and they've got a lot of new plans now that they've bought it. Okay. All right, do we have them on the phone?
Yeah, it looks like I got them connected. Let's see.
Oh, there we go.
That
hello,
right.
Is this Joe Boxers? Yes, we're calling to find out what your plans are for the Peanuts merchandise that you just acquired the rights to. What else are you going to be making? And my friend Ralph is wrong. Peanuts is, in fact, very funny, correct? Should we put this entire conversation in the Would You Like to Take That Back file?
Uh-huh. All right. Go-Go's 106.7
nope,
K-Rock.
Nope. It's 106.7 KRQ. You're right about that. It is 7:37.
All right. You are listening
to the Kevin and Bean Show. Movie Beat next hour. Adam Carolla This Week in Rage coming
rock
up because it's Friday.
Rodney on the Rock Show. All right.
Rodney, listen.
Welcome to
here's
my
the
show.
I know you're a very popular, influential music DJ have been for many years in Southern California.
That's
but you
Godhead.
Apparently, you're also a comic book fanatic. Is that true?
Yeah, I love comic books and the 80s.
What's your favorite comic book?
Captain
Neil? <Yes.
laughs> Captain America?
Yeah. All right.
You never heard
America.
Of that one, everybody. All right. Here's the deal. Iron Man 2, maybe the most anticipated movie of 2010, looks incredible.
All right.
Scarlett Johansson, Gwyneth Paltrow, Robert Downey Jr.,
Iron
Mickey
Man.
Rourke. Iron Man, right, exactly. It's coming out everywhere on Friday, 1 week from
Black
today.
Black Sabbath.
We're going to give Kevin and Bean listeners a chance to see it early. They can see it on Tuesday. If they have a comic book trivia question they want to call right now, it's time to stump Rodney.
Yeah, wig, wham, bam.
All right, Fine Young Cannibals.
No, we're talking about comic books here, not 80s music. 1-800-520-1067. You need to have the answer to it. Can't just be a question. We'll take them in order. Psycho Mike, starting with line one, it's going to be Nick to get us started. Nick, do you have a comic book trivia question? Can you stump Rodney to win your way into Iron Man 2?
Right.
I believe so. Good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning. Go ahead.
My question is, in the Batman series comic book, what is Bruce Wayne's son's name?
Damian.
Right.
Wow.
It is Damian.
What?
Rodney.
Right. Did he knew that?
All right.
How did that happen?
Couldn't help myself.
Really? Is there some sort of inner Batman geek inside the Rodney voice?
No, I don't know what
Maybe.
You're talking about.
Oh,
all right.
That was unexpected.
I thought you were Rodney right now.
I am. Okay. Nate O'Connor.
Let's play Robert. Robert is
Sheena
online,
Easton.
Too. Wow, no one saw that coming.
All right, stick.
Rodney's hot today. Good luck, Robert.
Wow. All right, what was the first appearance of the Punisher?
The Boomtown Rats.
Okay, that's the Rodney we know and love. Is it the Boomtown Rats, Robert?
No, it's Amazing Spider-Man.
Amazing Spider-Man. Right, congratulations.
Never heard
you're
of
going
him.
To the movie. Sure you haven't. Hang on for your prize. Javier, line three, please. Hi, Javier. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey, Kelly.
Hello.
What is Wolverine's skeleton made out of?
The bangles.
That would not work.
Javier, what's the answer?
Adamantium.
See, adamant. All right. Adamant. Don't drink, Rodney, don't smoke. What do you do? Adamant.
That's not what he's saying at all. Congratulations, Javier. You're going. All right, that's two. Let's try Justin on line four. Hey, Justin.
Yeah, what is Tony Stark's mom's name?
Billy Idol.
Was it even possible, Rodney?
Billy can be a woman's name sometime.
Is it Billy Idol?
All right.
No.
Debbie Gibson.
Don't keep guessing.
Tell us what it is so we can move on to someone else.
Maria Stark.
All right. Hang on a few seconds. Thank you very much. JD, line five. Time to stump Rodney. Good luck to you.
Hey, guys. What is
the Green Lantern's weakness.
Belinda Carlisle.
That may be your weakness, Ronnie. All right. I don't think that's the Green Lantern. No. What's the answer, JD?
No, he's weaker against things that are yellow.
See, Ronnie, I'm surprised you didn't know that. We've talked about that a lot on this
Blondie.
Show.
Blondie's
no,
yellow.
No, it wouldn't work that way. All right, I think that's four. I think we only have one more. Ronnie, I got to be honest that you got that first one, but since then you haven't been doing so good.
All right.
I'm sorry to say. Let's try Roger. Hey, Roger.
Hey, so my question is, which issue of Ultimate Spider-Man does Peter Parker reveal to Mary Jane that he is actually Spider-Man?
Rick Astley. All right.
I don't think it's Rick Astley. What's the answer you were looking for, Rodney?
No, it's number 13.
Never going to keep
13.
You
Rodney,
up.
How could you not know that?
Let you down. I'm going to turn around.
Congratulations.
You.
You're going to Iron Man 2. Rodney, sorry it didn't work out, but thanks for coming by.
Bananarama.
Yeah, wigwam.
Ralph Garman, the Peanuts hater. Kate in Denver emails us, hey, tell Ralph that of all the Ralph Garmans in the world, he is the Ralph Garmiest. See what she did there?
See, because that's a funny, funny line from Peanuts,
mm-hmm.
where right, Lucy says, of all the Charlie Browns in the world, you're the Charlie Browniest, she
so
says.
She comes right back at you with some of that side-splitting,
wow.
hilarious
oh,
Peanuts comment.
Oh, he it's truly was hysterical. A comic genius.
That's what I'm saying.
That thanks. Schultz, Nazi Schultz. Name sound movie familiar? Beat. Schultz, Sergeant Schultz, Hogan's Heroes, Nazi bastard. That's what he was.
Movie beat next half hour. Also, This Week in Rage from the Ace Man, Adam Carolla, will be here too. First, Rob's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Hey, I want to give you a reminder. Next Friday, not this, but a week from today, May 7th, our buddy Kevin Smith is going to be doing his patented evening of hilarious comedy and interesting stories. With his Plane of Hate tour, where he talks about being too fat to fly on Southwest Airlines and a bunch of other very funny stuff. It's happening at the House of Blues here in Los Angeles next Friday, 8 p.m. If you'd like to go, you can get tickets at jayandsilentbob.com or viewaskew.com and check them out. I'm going to be there. It's going to be fun. He's a very entertaining guy live. Yeah. He can do like 3 hours just talking. So can Psycho Mike, but that's one story for Psycho Mike. 3 hours talk. Turn your own mic on there, Mike.
And it's not funny when I do it.
No, it's certainly not. Well, this is an interesting story. Did Michael Jackson have a secret boyfriend?
Oh, my God. You're getting...
Whoops, sorry. Hit the wrong button.
Attaboy. Attaboy, Loopy.
Take some more Vicodin, buddy.
I apologize. I was pressed the wrong button.
Did Michael Jackson have a secret boyfriend?
What?
Yeah. What? That's what Jason Pfeiffer claims. He tells the TV show Extra that he had a passionate and sexual affair with the King of Pop that started back in 2008.
Hmm.
And he was an adult at the time.
Well, then I don't believe it at all.
Does anyone believe this?
Apparently the two met at Dr. Arnold Klein's office back in 2008. This is the dermatologist that Michael used. He was treating him for his...
good work.
He was treating him for his
impetigo.
Yeah. And Dr. Klein confirms that he walked in on the two men having what he describes as an intimate moment.
Oh.
Apparently, Michael had his shirt off.
Oh.
And Dr. Arnold says he was happy for the new couple. Jason Pfeiffer believes that Michael Jackson was his soulmate. And he says he has voicemail messages to prove their relationship.
I wonder why
nice
he's
sausage.
Just talking
I
about
have
this now.
No idea.
It's almost a year.
Maybe he was too tore up to.
Do you want extra sausage?
Publicly about it. There's a bomb at George Clooney's house.
What?
And it's not just Batman and Robin on DVD. See what I did
nice.
There?
Strong.
Because bomb has a double meaning.
It's a bad movie, right?
Apparently, there is a 500-pound explosive device on his property out of his Italian villa on Lake Como.
Left over from World War II?
Yes, Lisa.
Wow.
It is munitions thought to have been dropped by a World War II bomber. It is 45 feet. I'm sorry, there are 45 feet of water in front of his house.
Uh-huh.
Because everyone's got a giant lake in front of their house.
Sure.
And apparently there is a bomb in that water. No word on how they discovered it.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
But on Wednesday, police had to close down the entire nearby town, and they had to send a explosives expert team down there to try to disarm the device.
Wow. It's amazing how many, 60 years later, how many of these bombs are still all over Europe.
Yeah.
Clooney wasn't at his Italian villa at the time, and he has put it up for sale, apparently. I did not know that.
Selling the house?
Yeah. Selling his
Before the bomb goes off, he wants to get out.
That's right. Pam Anderson is a party.
Oh, yeah.
She was at an event that was being hosted by photographer Dave LaChapelle.
Pam Anderson?
And apparently, according to E! Online, she got into the party spirit and ended up the evening by dancing around the event naked.
Okay.
Pam Anderson?
Guests like Fergie, they say, were shocked at her behavior, but overall, everyone thought it was fun and had a great time. I would like to see her dancing naked.
Sure.
I think that would be interesting, because she's dancing with the stars now. She's got skills.
She can really dance.
Exactly.
Right.
And she'd be naked.
And I mentioned in the last hour that they are doing the Magic 8-Ball movie.
Finally.
Magic 8-Ball, the movie. That's greenlit.
Right.
That's going into production. Anchorman 2... No, thank you.
What?
What happened? That was the big buzz around town yesterday.
Yeah, the studio turned down Adam McKay and Will Ferrell's proposal for Anchorman 2.
That is that's a built-in $100 million hit, isn't it?
Adam McKay tweeted the information yesterday, said the studio turned down their pitch, despite the facts that Will and Steve Carell and Paul Rudd, who had all agreed to come back to the film, also agreed to take pay cuts to make the comedy more financially viable for the studio, but they said, no thanks, we'll pass.
Really? All right,
what are you not telling us?
That is the story. Magic 8-Ball, the movie? Yes, please. Anchorman 2? Not so much. That's Hollywood.
I would imagine that the studio would be begging Will Ferrell and Steve Carell and Paul Rudd to come back and make Anchorman 2.
Nope.
That's shocking.
It's unacceptable is what it is. And, you know, Psycho Mike is our resident heavy metal expert.
Yes.
There is a website called musicradar.com.
Mm-hmm.
You familiar with Metal Hammer magazine, Mike?
Yeah.
They did a poll of 6,000 heavy metal fans, and they asked them, what is the greatest heavy metal album of all time?
Okay.
Here are the top 10. Power Slave by Iron Maiden. Vulgar Display of Power by Pantera, 9th.
Yeah.
Back in Black, AC/DC, which I would have guessed that would have been my choice for number one, but it was 8th. Paranoid by Black Sabbath was 7th. Rust in Peace, Megadeth was 6th. Rain in Blood, Slayer
that
was
would be
5th.
That would be my number one.
Ride the Lightning, Metallica, 4th.
Mm.
Appetite for Destruction, 3rd. The Number of the Beast by Iron Maiden, number 2. Number 1, what do you think? According to 6,000 heavy metal fans, number 1 heavy metal album of all time.
I'm going to say either Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath by Black Sabbath or Master of Puppets.
Master of Puppets by Metallica. Absolutely right. So I'm like, once again, you win.
So Metallica gets 2 albums in the top 10.
Yes.
Wow.
That seems appropriate, right?
Seems like a pretty good, a pretty decent list. I don't think you have a lot of quibbles with that. Is it quibbles or is it quabbles?
It's quibbles.
Yeah. Or just problems for normal people.
I'm really high.
Yes, you are. Today's celebrity birthday is Kirsten Dunst is 28 years old today. Johnny Galecki from Big Bang Theory turns 35. Chris Henderson, guitarist for Three Doors Down, is 39 years old today.
Okay.
You might wonder why I would mention that.
Why?
Because it's on the list.
Okay.
Adrian Pasdar from Heroes is 41 years old. Willie Nelson turns 77 years old. And actress Cloris Leachman celebrates her 84th birthday. I am Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. I spend half my day on AdamCarolla.com just trying to keep up with this guy, the busiest man in showbiz, taking his live podcast show on the road. Sold out, Lisa May, at San Francisco's legendary Cobbs Comedy Club on Thursday, May 20th.
Wow.
Sold out, San Francisco.
That's so cool.
Still some seats available to see him in Seattle at Laughs Comedy Club on May 21st and 22nd. AdamCarolla.com for all the podcast info. And Adam joins us every Friday for This Week in Rage.
Yeah.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, first, I just want to say, get it on.
Get it on, indeed. How are you, Ace Man? Thank you for calling.
Yeah, good to speak to you, Bean. I'm going to see you in Seattle, brother.
I know. We're definitely going to hang out. I definitely am going to come see the podcast. I've not been to one of these live. Of course, I've listened to a lot of them on your website. But it sounds like a great time. I'm really excited that you're coming out.
It's a party, and I'll see you when we get to Seattle. All right, we're ready to go with This Week in Rage?
Mm-hmm. You bet.
Starting at three, working my way down to number one. First, number three, the thing everyone's talking about, the big thing going on in Arizona there. You know, it's like Nazi Germany over there. I'd like to bring Anne Frank back from the grave and ask her, hey, I'll bring you to Tucson. What do you think? Want to go to Tucson or you want to go in an attic in the Netherlands and be pulled out by guys in brown shirts? It'll probably be a coin toss for it, wouldn't you imagine? I'm sure if I brought back any of the 6 million Jews that were carted off to Auschwitz and other places, they'd assume. They'd go, no, no different. You're right. Exactly the same.
But, it does seem like, Adam, I think you're right that it seems like so many things get compared to the Nazis, but very few things actually warrant a comparison to the actual Nazis.
And I wonder if the Nazis are happy about that or pissed about that, because on one hand it softens the blow, like, see, we weren't so bad. And on the other hand, it makes them look like pussies. Wait a minute, we were badasses. We would have never done that.
Right.
But anyway, it's Nazi Germany over there, and Mayor Villaraigosa is organized a nice May Day march out here tomorrow in L.A. Bean, you got to get out to L.A., man. We're having a march.
I hear they're expecting 100,000 people are expected to march tomorrow.
Oh, man. And I'm just saying, hey, this isn't just for Mexicans. If you're listening to this and you want to go out and do a little marching, that would be the time. And I'm just saying, if Mayor Villaraigosa can take time out of his busy day of changing his name, failing the bar, and banging Telemundo reporters, you can take a couple hours out and march with him, right?
Sure. Absolutely.
All right. And also, they want us, we're supposed to boycott Arizona. So, like, for me, obviously, you know, we don't have a bunch of captains of industry listening to the program, but there are little things you can do. Like, for me, like, I usually go to the Fantastic Sam's in Tucson. No more.
That's
no
it.
No more.
You're done.
I'm
going
to hit the one in Glendale from now on. That's it. And, like, you know, you have to ask questions. Like, if you come home and your wife has Thai food, you got to go, like, where'd this Thai food come from? Not Flagstaff. We're going back. Does that mean there's little things you can do?
Okay.
Little things we can all do to boycott that place. By the way, I think that's the plan. I think they hope every Mexican boycotts Arizona, isn't it? Is that the overall plan?
Yeah.
That's exactly what they want, right?
Yeah. Hey, start your vigil from Mexico. There you go. All right. And number two, barbershop quartets. I know I'm going from Mexicans to the whitest thing on the planet, but barbershop quartets. I'll tell you why I hate barbershop quartets. You see these guys, they got the wax in the mustache, they're dressed like Shakey's busboys, they're wearing the straw hats, and it's the gayest thing on the planet. And then they start singing, and you go, damn it, I couldn't do that. There's nothing worse than making fun of something you couldn't do.
Yeah.
You don't like it, you don't tap your foot, you don't go, this is great music, you just go, you went from these guys are the gayest guys on the planet to, all right, it takes a lot of talent to do that. God damn it. And what's the deal with the quartet? What if they're like five guys who love singing about barbershops? You couldn't do it?
I guess
three
not.
Guys? Like, how does that work? And then what does that fifth guy do? Like, hope someone turns an ankle or something so they can jump in?
Put me in, coach.
Or maybe Donald Trump strips them of their crown and they can jump in and finish the work of the quartet. I'm just saying, if you're going to do something gay and lame, don't do something so much better than I could do it. It makes me feel insecure and unfit.
Good point.
Last one, number one. I've been really thinking about this one lately. Nachos. I know.
Nachos.
Yeah. Now, how can you complain about nachos? I'll tell you what happened with nachos. We went too far. Nachos were good about 9 years ago. Just a bunch of cheese and chips and some jalapeno peppers, and then people started scooping on the sour cream and the fake guacamole and ladling on the Velveeta, and we ruined them. A plate of nachos shouldn't take two men to lift. And let me just ask you this: here's how you know nachos have gone south. There's no such thing as a nacho doggy bag. I mean, you really need a spackle knife to scrape the stuff. It congeals. It turns back. The chips The tortilla chips turn back into tortillas at a certain point when they can't support the weight of what's been put on top of them. Is there anything that starts off better and goes worse than nachos?
I never looked at it that way.
Pizza starts off as a 9 and ends up at a 7.5 2 days later. Nachos go from a 10 to a -3 in 20 minutes. We're piling too much crap on them. The chips can't support the weight. They're getting soggy. Mm-hmm. Let's get back to the melted cheese with the jalapeno on the side and call it a nacho day.
There you go. That's the problem of this country. You're right about that.
The May Day March this Saturday, everybody.
All right.
AdamCarolla.com for details on all of the live appearances and all 5 of the Ace Broadcasting podcasts. Have a great weekend, man. Have fun at the rally. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks, guys.
This is the Kevin Bean Show. It's Friday. That means the movie beep.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Hey, party people. It is the Movie Beat. We're going to take a look at the movies opening up in Cineplexes this weekend. And before I get into that, I do want to address the smoking hot story that is burning up the internet for all the comic book movie geeks out there.
What's that?
Iron Man 2. Apparently, you're going to want to stay through the end credit sequence.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
It's one of those deals where you want to see what happens at the end. And I know now, but I won't tell you because I don't want to be a spoiler. But it does involve another Marvel Comics character who's also getting his own motion picture soon.
Oh.
So they're really starting to dovetail these stories together because, you know, the culmination will be the Avengers movie where they've got Iron Man and Thor and Captain America and Hulk and everybody in one movie. So you're going to want to stick around. But let's talk about the movies that open this weekend, including, of course, The Human Centipede.
No.
There we go.
We'd be remiss if we didn't talk about this film. We talked to the creator of this movie, Tom Six, yesterday, the writer-director. And for a minute there, I thought we were talking to Goldmember from Austin Powers, but it was actually Tom Six. Here's the premise. There's a scientist, mad doctor, who is kidnapping people and then sewing them together, mouth to rectum, in a sequence to create a human centipede. But only like 3 people, so it's hardly a centipede. Because centipede is 100 feet. That's what centipede means.
He's just getting started at this point
I'm
in the
just
movie.
Saying.
His goal is to get 50 of them, right?
This is 6-peed.
Well,
that's what this is.
Mr. Six was open about the fact that this is only one movie in
that's
a series,
true.
And that he hopefully will have.
Will work his way up to 50 people. Yeah, that's the movie. That's the premise. I am out. I am so not going to watch this.
In.
This is not
so in
my kind of film.
Me?
I do not want to see people tortured and sewn together in that fashion.
We talked to the director yesterday, as you mentioned. It's been a long time since I've received so many emails from people who are still disturbed hours later saying, I can't get the image out of my mind of the intestines going out of one body into the other and sewed together.
See, did you have to go there? Did you have to
I'm just
go
saying
that far?
That people, that's an image that sticks with folks.
Even the audio we played yesterday from the scenes of the film, without having seen them, it disturbed me. It stayed with me.
Yeah, it's horrible.
And I'm going to do it some more. Here is a scene from Human Centipede. This is one of the chicks he kidnaps. Apparently, they're all sexy and quite naked during this procedure. That's not hot, Mike.
Yes, it is.
Naked women being tortured and sewn together is not hot.
It's the hottest.
Here she is trying to avoid the Dr. Hydra, I believe his name is, the evil scientist, by barricading herself in a room in the evil house where he's got...
Stop! Why are you doing this?
Open up!
You need help! You're a sick man!
I'm a sick man! If you don't open up immediately, I will cut your knees! I'll pull your teeth out one by one without any anesthesia! It's your choice!
That wouldn't get me to open the door.
No.
He's not a good negotiator. If you don't open it right now, I'm going to cut your knees and then pull your teeth out one by one without anesthesia. Then I'm not opening the door.
To say this movie's disturbing and graphic might be an understatement. I showed some... we had the DVD, right?
Uh-huh.
I took it into Loveline and showed Dr. Drew, a man who has been in surgery.
Yes.
Who has cut people open many a times. And he walked off. He walked out of the studio while we were on the air. It disturbed him so much, he got up and walked off.
See, because he is a decent, right-thinking human being. This movie's not for those people. It's for your people.
Okay.
So. Bean, you're in, right?
I'm absolutely in.
It's okay. Only playing locally here in the L.A. area at the New Art Theater. I believe it's a midnight showing starting tonight. But you can see it on the IFC pay-per-view setup. The direct, not the direct, what
on demand.
On demand that they have set up there. So you can check that out if you are as twisted as Psycho Mike. Please Give also opens this weekend. This is an independent film that got rave reviews at the Sundance Film Festival, directed by Nicole Holofcener. Starring Catherine Keener, who I love, Oliver Platt, who's always entertaining.
Oh, good cast.
It is a good cast. Amanda Peet also stars. This is a comedy about a young couple who have a secondhand store, and they sell furniture and clothing and stuff. And how they get the stuff is they look for the death notices in the newspaper and then descend upon these people and sort of buy up stuff from the deceased's apartments. So they buy this stuff from children of dead people, basically, is what they do. The premise is they've got an old lady living in their apartment building in New York City. They want her apartment, so they're waiting for her to die so they can buy it and knock the wall down and have a bigger apartment. And here's Oliver Platt, who plays the lead in the film, trying to help a neighbor of his who is, she's not all there.
Who is it?
It's Alex from next door. Andrew, we're just going to the drugstore. Is there anything? Hi, we're just going to the drugstore. Would you like us to get you anything while we're there?
Hi, Andra.
Perfect.
I hope you're not going to win this. The crooks.
Metro Drugs.
We're going to Metro.
Yeah.
It's better.
You gain weight.
Excuse me?
You gain weight.
Thank you.
You gained weight.
What?
Thank you!
Okay.
They're trying to be nice to her so that when she dies, she can get her apartment.
Gotcha.
Furry Vengeance.
Oh, yeah.
Opens up this weekend. No, Bean, it's not what you think. It's not.
This is either rated G or it's rated X.
It's not an adult film about women who choose not to shave. It is Brendan Fraser, who plays a real estate developer who wants to turn a forest into a new home development, but the local woodland creatures turn on him and they make his life a living hell. You see how funny that is when the raccoons start torturing him?
There it is.
Why are you doing this to us, Brendan? You're a good actor. You seem like a nice guy.
He is a good actor.
Here are some clips from the trailer of Furry Vengeance.
Do you know why they call me the King of Green? Because I love this planet.
So you're going to take out the whole forest?
Yeah!
But we're replacing it with a shopping mall with a forest theme.
The animals are out to get me.
And what animal are we talking about?
There's more than one of them. I think they're in cahoots.
Shut up!
Oh. I know he is a good actor. He's a cash cow with all of these movies. These George of the Jungles and films that he makes.
Yeah.
The kids love this.
I know. Well, please enjoy.
I think he's
Furry Vengeance.
He's like Dwayne the Rock Johnson in that he's just a super likable guy that kids seem to really be attracted to. Yeah. So
Rent a Quiet Man. See that movie with Brendan Fraser and see what a terrific actor he is.
Or what was the one he did with Ian McKellen? Gods and Monsters.
Amazing.
Great performance in that. Nightmare on Elm Street, rebooted, opens up this weekend. We got a brand new Freddy in the person of Jackie Earle Haley. Rooney Mara also stars, and one of my favorite actors is Katie Cassidy, who we've had here on the show, who, of course, plays Ella on the Melrose Place reboot over over there on the C-dub. Here's a scene where Freddy, as mentioned, played by Jackie Earle Haley, confronts Katie Cassidy in the brand new A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Hi, Chris.
Who are you?
You look just as beautiful as ever. You have nothing to worry about. This won't hurt. One little bit.
That's a lie! Wow. Nothing but Pixar this weekend.
Yeah, a lot of fun. A lot of good times at the Cineplex this weekend. So, there you go. Those are the movies opening up this weekend. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Coming up next hour, by the way, I'm looking forward to this conversation. We're going to be talking about the burst.
Oh, sure we are, Stoner.
I may not make it to the end of the show. I think the Vicodin is just peaking right now. We're going to be talking about the best and worst television series finales of all time as we are getting into that season here on the TV, yeah, where shows like Lost and 24 are going away and people are starting to get nervous.
Hey, May sweeps.
May sweeps. Yeah. That's right. So we'll be talking about that coming up here on the Kevin Meade Show. Right now, though, let's talk about a movie that I'm very excited about. Look, not everybody needs a biopic, but occasionally somebody like Ozzy Osbourne comes along and you go, that dude has had a fascinating life.
Yeah.
I mean, he started out, I mean, he was thug life as a teenager, right, Mike? I mean,
but he wasn't thug life, yes.
I'm saying his life could have gone so differently. He could have ended up in jail for the rest of his life instead of going on to be one of the biggest rock stars in the world.
No, it's true. Ozzy was not one of these guys who went to art school and, you know, managed to make his way into the music industry. He was from, you know, a tough part of England.
Yeah, exactly. And he was a thief, too. He would rob houses.
So he has had a fascinating life, turned himself around, obviously had lots of problems with addiction, you know, peed on the Alamo, the thing with the bat, I mean.
Right, bit the head of a bat, right? Is that what he did?
Crazy, crazy stuff.
Bit the head of a dove. You
know, in his 50s to become a huge star all over again with his reality show on MTV. So they are talking about making a movie. Sharon Osbourne is behind it, says they got a producer on board, a lot of the financial backing. She has some ideas of who she'd like to play her. She's talking about Carrie Mulligan, that beautiful actress from An Education that got nominated for an Oscar. Yeah. She'd love to see her play Sharon. But who plays Ozzy? What do you do with a guy who's so recognizable as himself? Who do you find to play Ozzy Osbourne? So Ralph, you've heard that they've got like all over town. They're bringing people in to read for this.
They've
right?
got auditions apparently wide open. They're looking at unknowns naturally because Ozzy is such a persona. You really could have an unknown actor sort of fill that bill. But they're also talking to stars too. I think they want this to be a hit film. Sharon, especially since she's producing, so they're actually screen testing a bunch of known names too, celebrities and actors who've been around a long time.
Well, we've got an in with some of the studios that are doing these auditions, and I believe we actually have some of the real for people who are playing Ozzy, or at least trying to. So let's go to cut one and find out who's up for this role.
Gene Simmons for the part of Ozzy Osbourne. Oh, you can go whenever you're ready.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Ozzy Osbourne. I will be embarking on a solo career now that I'm no longer in Black Sabbath. I'm now going to put this bat's head in my mouth. After that, I would like you, young lady, to put mouth
man.
And rhythmically move your...
Hey.
I don't think that's an appropriate direction for
really
no,
like
I don't I don't I don't think he'd be a good choice.
he may be available to start acting again very soon. The governor of California, Arnold Schwarzenegger, up for the role.
Okay, Arnold Schwarzenegger auditioning for Ozzy Osbourne. Whenever you're ready.
Ah, Sharon, look at this remote control. I can not even operate it. I'm so crazy rock and roller with, being confused from all the drug use.
Wow.
Audition number three, interesting choice. I'm not sure if I can see this one, but let's check it out.
William Shatner auditioning for the part of Ozzy Osbourne.
Sharon, I need to go on tour. We need to start our own concert festival. Ozfest!
No, that doesn't work at all.
Probably not. All right, here's a guy already has ownership of some of the most iconic movie characters of all time. Can he also pull off Ozzy Osbourne? Let's see.
Harrison Ford for Ozzy Osbourne.
Sharon, I can't
make out anything you're saying, man.
He may be one of the few actors we understand already less than we do
that's
Ozzy
true.
Osbourne.
He's got that.
So he's not a good choice. Of course, you got to have box office concerns in mind. If you're going to make a movie, you want it to make money. So why not rope in some of the twitards with this choice?
Okay, Rob Pattinson for the part of Ozzy Osbourne. Whenever you're ready.
I am Iron Man. Is he live or dead?
He's got the chops. Sure he's got the singing chops.
Really, I'm not sure he brings the energy necessary to play Ozzy Osbourne, though. All right, here's another unusual casting choice, but he's a great Oscar-winning actor. Let's see what he does with it.
This is Al Pacino auditioning for the part of Ozzy Osbourne.
Ooh-ah! Sharon, my God, look how big Kelly is. She's huge!
Wow. Okay, going in a different direction there. Yeah. How about one of the younger actors on the scene? Check this out.
Spencer Pratt for Ozzy. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm Ozzy. What's up, kid? How you doing, Chief? My wife needs to lose weight. She's fat. Sharon's fat. Lose some weight because I'm a rock star. Yeah, hey. Hey, what's up, boss? All right, they do. Yeah, 9 o'clock.
No. I'm going to say no right
Not
now.
Not an option.
All right, can one legend play another legend? Let's see.
Sean Connery for the part of Ozzy Osbourne.
So, Sharon, look at me bite the head off of this dove. And then afterwards, I'm going to right in the
Wow.
That's my choice so far.
Now, Ralph, you said that they're casting a very wide net on who they're looking for. I mean, they're really accepting anybody for an audition. I didn't even know this guy could act, but let's check it out.
Manny Ramirez from the Dodgers? Okay, go ahead.
All right, I love the show Small Wonder. Hey, who's got a sausage? I've got a horn.
That has nothing to do with Ozzy Osbourne. I don't get that at all. And finally, maybe you remember him from the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's see what Kevin's been up to on his vacation.
Kevin Ryder auditioning for Ozzy Osbourne. Go ahead.
I just want to be ongoing on MTV. Our own personal life in the cameras on television. Long time friend me.
Wow.
You know
perfect.
What? Out of all of them, he sounds the most like him. I think we got ourselves an Ozzy. The Showbiz Beat with Ralph Garman.
What?
Isn't that what we're doing?
Is it that time already?
I believe so.
My goodness. I'm all out of sorts.
You want some of my Vicodin?
Didn't get much sleep last night.
It'll help.
I'm a little dizzy. David Hasselhoff.
Yes.
His ex-wife Pamela Bach has turned herself in. She has begun serving a 90-day jail sentence. She was sentenced to 30 days after pleading no contest to a DUI charge she got last November. But since she was on probation for a previous DUI, the judge threw in another 60 days for good measure.
Guilty!
She's also going to have to give up her driver's license for 2 years.
2 years? Yeah. Wow.
She was supposed to have begun her sentence on May 3rd, but she turned herself early to avoid the Christmas rush.
Yeah, hi, this is David Hasselhoff. Listen, I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down there.
There's no tickets.
He's still driving.
Yeah, but where can I get them? I mean, they're like, where is there...
Boy, the Hasselhoffs like their juice, don't they?
they do.
They sure like to just juice them up and go.
Can I come to your radio station tonight and pick up something, or can I just go down there? Because...
we've already given away our Iron Man 2 tickets.
Yeah, and do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available? Do you know?
Probably. It's a hotel. They probably have rooms available. That's what
Major
they do.
Major fan of K-Rock.
Thank you.
I'd love to introduce the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Nope, we're not playing that, David.
I'm not suggesting this is the case with Mrs. Hasselhoff, but I'm telling you that in my experience, people I've heard of, almost nobody stops driving when they lose their license.
I know.
They just drive without one.
Yeah.
How far is the festival from the Marriott Palm Desert, do you know?
I do not know.
You don't have your answers.
I'm going to strap on my pedometer and I'll walk it for you.
And when do the stuff really get going? In the afternoon?
That's fine. And the gate's open, pretty much, Dave. We've been talking about Iron Man 2 all week long. I mentioned earlier, do not walk out on the closing credit sequence. You're going to see a little extra taste of comic book movie at the end, but it's already open in France, and apparently it's already outperforming the first movie in the series there in Europe.
Like France.
So, congratulations. Speaking of movies, Katherine Heigl finally getting her wish, getting off of television. She's left Grey's Anatomy. She's just signed the deal for her next big movie. It's a crime thriller called One for the Money.
Whoa.
One for the Money.
Whoa!
One for the Money. It's only half the movie we made. Mm-hmm. We made two for the money.
That's a talking about.
She is playing a woman who, in order to make money, since she's newly divorced and needs a job, she takes a job with her slimy cousin, who is a bail bondsman.
Oh, it's the Stephanie Plum series.
Oh, Lisa, stop it.
Oh, Lisa.
Stop knowing bad things.
These are fun books. I don't know if I like her in it, but... I enjoy the book.
Yes, she will be playing Stephanie Plum. You're absolutely right, Lisa. In the novels by Janet Ivanovich.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently they've been a big success with women like Lisa.
Yeah.
They're fun.
Lonely cat people. Hey, we managed to get Katherine Heigl to stop making TV shows. How can we get her to stop making movies?
I don't know. There's got to be something we can do.
She's trying really hard herself, making comments all over the place.
She's ticking off a lot of people.
Yeah.
And we didn't get a chance to celebrate, but apparently Tuesday was Elton John Day. Did you know that?
How do you celebrate Elton John Day?
Well, you sit down and you play piano. That's what I'm guessing. Play the piano.
That's not what I thought he'd say.
You find a tiny dancer and you hold her closer.
Oh, wow. Wow.
That's how you celebrate.
Why was it Elton John Day? Because I know his birthday is in March, so that wasn't it.
Apparently, it was a charity thing. Mayor Bloomberg in New York City declared it Elton John Day. Okay. And it was a benefit for breast cancer research, apparently. Now, he wasn't there to make the announcement, so they had Bette Midler stop by to do it. Wow. This is like the gay Super Bowl with this crowd. Bette said in her proclamation that Elton John has sold out Madison Square Garden more than the Knicks and the Rangers, even though he doesn't know what either of those things are. That's pretty funny. Pretty funny for Bette Midler.
I can't speak to Elton John Day, but I want to thank Kevin and Bean listener Marie, who sent us word, Ralph, that today is the first annual Vaginal Rejuvenation Day.
Oh, finally.
Apparently that is today. It's Vaginal Rejuvenation Awareness Day.
Lisa?
I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good, thanks. All good down there.
How can they not have Elton John Day on a Saturday, right?
Saturday? Saturday?
Saturday? Saturday night's all right. All right, all right, all right.
It's so bad, I don't even want it in the file. I don't ever want to hear it up the again, file with it? Ever.
I agree.
And Sandra Bullock's friends are really standing by her. Us Weekly reports that Keanu Reeves is looking to sell his motorcycle because it was made by Jesse James especially for him, and he can't stand to look at it anymore.
Ouch. Girl,
that's absurd.
West Coast Choppers, no thank you. Why is that absurd, Bean? If it reminds him of his best friend's ex who screwed her over, I can see why he wouldn't want that around his house.
Yeah.
Because the motorcycle didn't do anything wrong.
Well, no, but that's not the point.
He's just doing it to support her.
Yeah. He's doing it to bang her now that she's single. That's what he's doing.
And Michael Jackson had a secret boyfriend.
Yeah.
If you believe the TV show Extra, they talked to a guy named Jason Pfeiffer. Or Pfeiffer. I'm not sure how that's pronounced. This P-F-I-E-F-F-E. Is it Pfeiffer?
Go with Pfeiffer.
He claims he had a sexual, passionate love affair with Michael back in 2008 when they both met at the office of Dr. Arnold Klein, who was Jackson's dermatologist.
That's where Michael met everyone.
That's where he met Debbie Rowe, right?
Yes.
Wasn't she the receptionist at that office? Mm-hmm. Became his wife and or bared his children or
something?
He
basically just goes to the doctors.
That's all he did. The two of them got together. In fact, Dr. Klein is confirming that he walked in on the two of them at his office having what he is calling an intimate moment.
Huh. The most loving thing to do is to share your bed with someone.
Yes.
Do you want extra sausage?
Share your bed with someone or share the crinkly tissue paper on top of one of those cold office benches they have. There's the doctor's office. So there you go. Michael apparently liked all kinds of people, young and old,
right.
Men and women. He had a lot of love to give.
Oh. And I'm Buzz.
Even Buzz Aldrin, apparently. That's how he learned how to moonwalk.
Wow, this entire report is going into Would You Like to Get
I'm
Back
I'm telling
on.
You, I did not get the much sleep last thing. Night, and it's really getting late.
No, that was strong.
I need a nap.
Don't apologize.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Cloris Leachman is 84 years old today. Singer Willie Nelson turned 77. Adrian Pasdar, who, of course, was the flying congressman on Heroes, he is 41. Akon celebrates his 37th birthday. Johnny Galecki from Big Bang Theory is 35. And Kirsten Dunst is 28 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
After years of being invested in a show like 24 or a show like Lost, both of which are going off the air in May, you have expectations of what the finale is going to be like.
Yes.
24, by the way, seems a little bit easier than some of the other shows because they end every season at a convenient point, right? Because the crisis is averted and the world is saved.
Yeah, but Kiefer Sutherland has said in interviews regarding the finale that it is a culmination of all of those seasons and of his character's experiences, that it's a very emotional ending for Jack Bauer. That's what he is promising.
Yeah. There's a lot of pressure if you're working on one of those TV shows to deliver something that's going to live up to fans' expectations. And we all think about the series finales that we've seen in the past that we've loved, that we still think fondly of, and the ones that have disappointed. And Ralph, I guess you've got a list that just came out about this topic.
Yeah. I mean, we obviously want to take your phone calls about what you think are the best and worst
finales for TV series. Everyone's opinions are going to differ. But there's a list of the top 10 worst and the top 10 best of all time, recently released on the New York Post website. And they say that MASH is the best finale for a series ever. And I would beg to differ.
Really?
I loved it.
Was it great? It was great.
Or were we all so emotionally involved with that series, and did we all love those characters so much that we got emotionally caught up in the moment of saying goodbye to them?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. It's kind of hard to separate the two. Of course, until this year's Super Bowl, it was the most watched television event of all time, too.
Yeah.
I mean, remember how big MASH was when it finally went off the air?
Wasn't it on television? 11, is that what you said? 11 seasons?
11 seasons, yeah.
Yeah, that's a tremendous amount of time on television. I can't imagine any show that would do that now. Except for The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Right.
And the worst series finale, according to this website, and we will talk, of course, about your choices. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call in if you've got an idea for the best and worst TV series of all time. Worst, and this is interesting. I know Psycho Mike would argue differently. The Sopranos, they said, was the worst series finale ever.
I can understand how it's disappointing, because it certainly is a letdown when you want some closure to what's gone on with all these characters. But I thought it was incredibly thought-provoking and incredibly daring, too, considering how many people tuned in to see the end of this landmark show. And you know, they didn't really give you that closure, which left it open for thought. It left it open for your interpretation.
Yeah. I'm watching television. I don't need my thoughts provoked. I need you to deliver. I'm emotionally invested in these characters. It's been a highly dramatic, drama-charged atmosphere on that show for 8 years or 5 years or whatever it was on, 7 years. And you have to deliver on that promise. You have to come up with something that is mind-blowing and violent and appropriate.
And I think especially, yes, Ralph, especially for The Sopranos, because of the nature of the characters involved, many people wanted to see him get busted. They wanted to see him get, you know, finally go down. The FBI finally catch up with him and take him away.
Or rubbed out, right?
Mm-hmm. Or rubbed out, exactly. Or something that was a turning point with him as a character. He renounces the life, or he goes on and does something else, or something. But it just kind of ended like in the middle of any episode in any season. And I think that's what really disappointed people at the time.
Yeah, David Chase, the creator, was apparently his point was, in Tony Soprano's world, uncertainty reigns. So you didn't know whether he was going to get whacked by the guys in that diner, or were they just going to have a meal and leave and go home. You never know, man, because his life was so unpredictable. F you.
Apparently we never will.
No.
I would say, and then we'll go to your calls in a minute at 1-800-520-1067, best and worst TV series finales of all time. I would say the one that has resonated with me the most, and it's not a show that I watched often when it was on, is the famous Newhart closing.
Oh, the
Newhart show that was on in the 80s, I guess, and they ended it with a complete out-of-the-blue twist to the series that Bob Newhart had been on before, as if this entire second series had just been a dream.
Yeah.
He'd been asleep with his first wife from the first show. I mean, that was one of the best-kept secrets ever. Nobody knew about it. It just blew America's mind when that aired, that the whole thing could have been looked at like that.
Yeah, that was kind of a spoof at the time, because Dallas had done that some years earlier, where they had a horrible season. The ratings were awful. Patrick Duffy had left the show. The writing was bad. And they came back at the end of that season and had the whole thing be one of the characters' dreams that whole season. They wrote it off. And yeah, so as a sort of a spoof on that, excuse me, they did the entire series of a show. It had just been someone else's dream from a show. And it was very fun.
All right. Let's take a couple calls real quick, and then we'll come back with more. Worst and best TV series finales of all time. Daniel is on line one to get us started here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Daniel, thanks for holding on. What do you got for us, man?
No problem. Morning, Kevin and Bean. Morning, Lisa Mack.
Good morning.
Worst one of all time would have to be Nip Tuck.
Hey.
Came recently. This is this last season. Nip Tuck. Worst series finale.
No, I didn't see that. Can you describe it for us quickly?
It's painful, but yeah, you know, Nip Tuck has been one of the edgiest, most provocative shows. It just fizzled. Absolutely nothing happened. Sean just got on a plane and left, and Matt got together with one of his old therapists who you forgot about. There was no, rewarding anything.
That show, when they went to L.A., I thought it started losing it right there anyway.
They kind of jumped the shark.
They did.
Every now and
yeah,
then.
It had
they jumped
out.
A lot.
It probably stayed on a season or two beyond when people would have really cared what happened for the most part. That's why guys like Ralph, who liked the show, weren't even still invested in it at the time.
I'd given up. I didn't see it.
Thank you for the call. Let's try Ryan. He's got one for the best list. I think a lot of people will agree with him on line 8. Hey, Ryan, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, guys. Hey, The Shield was probably one of my favorite long-time running shows. The finale for that was absolutely amazing.
You're right.
It really closed up everything.
You're right. That finale served up all the themes and all the character traits that they had been working with for that entire series. It really was brilliantly done.
Michael Chiklis, I mean, you hate the guy, but yet you love the guy. And then, you know, he's the only guy that comes out relatively unscathed in the whole, the whole scheme of things.
You know what? That's a great call, Ryan. And it's funny, as I'm looking at this list from the New York Post, I would put the Shield ahead of several of the ones that they've got on their list for the best finales. I think you're absolutely right. I think you scooped the Post on that. All right. Thank you for the call. What do you think? 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls when we come back right after this on the Kevin and Beach. Rob's got another look at the Showbiz Beat coming up, and then we get to sing our favorite song like we do every Friday. We'll be Don't Bogart That Joint coming up in a few minutes. Right now, though, we're talking about the best and worst television series finales of all time. It is almost May, which means we'll be saying goodbye to Lost and 24 and other shows. On the email, by the way, Seinfeld is the runaway worst finale of all time, according to our listeners so far on the email.
And on the list here from the New York Post, it was third worst. Sopranos was number one, then Roseanne, which turned out that was all just a dream, too.
Oh, well, they just copied. Yeah.
Roseanne was rich. She had won the lottery, and she was just imagining what her life would be like if they were a working-class family.
Oh, I remember that now, yeah.
That basically is saying, hey, all these characters that you've been invested in for 10 years or whatever it is, it's screw you, right, basically.
And Seinfeld, the finale, was the third worst on the list.
Let's try Doug. He's on line one, calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Doug, thank you for holding on. What do you got for us?
I was thinking the season finale or the series finale from 6 Feet Under was probably one of the best ever.
Loved
brilliant.
It.
Brilliant.
Yes, you're right.
In a show that dealt with death on a regular basis, they showed the final moments of all the main characters throughout in the future. Yeah, it was remarkable.
Talk and about closure, right?
Yeah, and every episode started with someone dying, except in the season finale, they started with someone being born.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful show.
That was great.
So it started off the theme of new life and then ended off with, ending all the old, but you still got the feeling that they lived full and complete lives, especially Claire's when you saw that she lived to be like 102 years old and just was surrounded by, what looked like photos
family.
Of herself and photos
great,
of
great call, Doug. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Let's try Michael. He's got a candidate for the worst. He's on line 5 and joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. What do you say, Mike?
Oh, man, I got to tell you, Battlestar Galactica finale blew.
Wrong, sir.
No, sorry. Sadly mistaken.
Oh, I loved it.
Okay, you have to remind me. Oh, they got to Earth.
They got to the planet,
Right.
They got to Earth, and then we found out that that we're all descended from Cylons 100-something thousand years ago. No, sorry. The whole thing was Star Wars a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Didn't buy it. Didn't believe it. No.
Didn't strike me that way.
Thanks for the call. Raquel is on line 4, another candidate for the worst TV series finale of all time. Hi, Raquel. What says you?
Hey, guys. I'm Callie. Well, Buffy. Buffy the Vampire Slayer had two really, it was really weird what happened with it.
I never saw the end of the Buffy series.
Yeah, remind
series.
Me.
What happened was that season 5, they thought that they were going to cancel it on the WB. Mm-hmm. So they did all this, great, stop popping, she died, bang, boom thing. Mm-hmm. And then they had to bring her back from the dead for season 6 when they went to the UPN. And then they had another one for season 7, which on that one was kind of lame, too, where the whole city just, went into a meteorite, state.
Oh, man.
Doesn't seem good. Were you a big Buffy fan throughout the whole series, and they just left you cold right there at the very end?
Yeah, I was a big, huge Buffy fan. I'm like, oh, God, she's dead. I'm never going to see her again. And then they bring her back for a 6th season, and it's like, what the heck? And then the 7th season ended, and it was just really bad. And, but he continued in the comic books, too, which is kind of weird as well.
Huh.
Thank you very much for the call. I do remember, and I think it was season 5 or something like that, when Sarah Michelle Gellar's character, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, did that time in the mental institution.
Right.
And thought that all of the stuff that was going on was in her imagination. I know that's kind of a common variation for some of the other shows we've talked about. But it was so brilliantly done. I remember thinking at the time, man, I bet they wish they weren't using this plot line right now because it would have made a great season finale.
Yeah.
Do you remember Twin Peaks, the Twin Peaks finale? This is on the list. Number 9 is one of the best. When Dale Cooper, played by Kyle MacLachlan, gets possessed by Bob, the evil killer. Remember who was killing everyone?
Oh, yeah.
He looks in the mirror and he sees Bob's face and he becomes Bob. I thought that was a pretty cool ending.
Let's try, how about Justin? He's on line 6 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Justin, thanks for calling in. What do you got for us?
Hey, guys, good morning. One of my favorite season finales is the season finale for Friends.
Nope.
Friends?
I don't remember. What happened?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Basically, what happens is Monica and Chandler, they're getting ready to leave to go to their new house. Rachel's going to Friends, but then she ends up coming back to stay with Ross. Joey decides that he's going to go live in L.A. before his crappy spinoff. But I felt it was good because they could have done so much that was wrong with it, seeing as how the series was already starting to crap out. Sorry for my language.
I think that they had everybody had gotten together and broken up so many times at that point. I think I didn't even care.
Yeah.
I think I was several seasons past caring about that.
No, I was still watching. I liked it. I don't know if it was one of the best, but it certainly was fine. It could have been terrible.
Right.
Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it.
I was just glad it was ending. That's why I liked it.
I liked that.
Let's do one more and make it Matt on line 6. He's calling about a show that kind of started this whole discussion for us off the air. Hey, Matt, welcome to the program.
It's Matt's on line 8, I think.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Okay, so, line 8. It says 6, but sorry.
Good morning, guys. Hey, Lisa May.
Hi, Matt.
Guys, the worst show series of all time ending is still to come. It's got to be Lost.
No.
I wonder.
Absolutely.
No, guys, this season has been amazing.
I know, but I'm very worried.
Guys, it's been an absolute disaster. No one can tie this thing together in a neat little bow at the end of
it. And they're not even trying
this
season at all.
Oh, wrong.
I got so lost.
It's battle of good versus evil. It's the ultimate ending.
Boo. They would need an entire season to basically tie together an ending.
And then they couldn't.
This thing has been a disaster, even then.
Yeah.
What do you expect will happen on the last show, Matt?
Well, I don't know. I mean, they kind of already gave away the heaven and hell thing, so I'm not sure where they're going to take it. I think that's where they were headed, but they kind of already opened that can of worms.
They're going to surprise you, Matt, and you're going to go, wow! That's a low price.
I'm already disappointed.
I am with you, Matt. I'm already writing a strongly worded letter of complaint about the show that hasn't even aired yet.
No,
thank
you can't
so much
watch
for the call.
You can't watch.
Listen, it's Friday. We're heading into the weekend. How about some good news for a change? Ralph, you got any good news at all in this show, Bisbee?
Oh, let me see. Tito Ortiz didn't really beat up Jenna Jameson.
Okay,
that's
good a great
news,
start.
Right?
Happy to hear that.
Yeah, apparently they both overreacted, they claimed. When the police showed up at their house and they said some things that maybe weren't exactly true.
Were they just angry at each other and were just lashing out and saying mean things just to piss off the other person?
Apparently that's what it was about. Jenna has dropped the felony domestic violence charges against Tito and says what actually happened has been dramatically distorted and misinterpreted. Jenna admits that the remarks they both made after the police arrived reflected the state of shock that we were both in. I have no idea what that means, but... no word on whether he will retract his accusations of her being a drug addict or not. They sound like a happy, happy couple.
I'm so surprised that now she's saying nobody got hit, because I remember that TMZ got a hold of this tape of the actual incident. And, I mean, if you listen closely, it sounds like there's something going on.
Alrighty. Yeah. Okay. Ball for it every time. Every time.
Too soon.
Bret Michaels will be back on the road on May 26th. Come on, really? Can't we let him just relax? Can't we just let him take a nap?
I'm saying
after
no.
After he bled into his brain? Brett's manager says that Brett will go back on tour with Poison at the end of the month.
Okay.
He's expected to make a full recovery from the brain hemorrhage he suffered last week, and provided nothing else goes wrong, he'll be performing
As of May 26th will be the first show back.
Is he going to be able to recover from bandana tourniquet syndrome?
Are there a whole lot of people whose livelihood depends on Bret Michaels being able to go out on stage and sing? Is this like Elvis? He's just got so many people who depend on him for work?
I get the sense that is the case, yeah. I got a quick email, by the way. We were talking about series finales, and I'm glad someone brought this up, that their favorite finale, here it says, is NYPD Blue, the series finale of that, when Sipowicz becomes the sergeant of the squad. Person says it was his favorite because of Officer Gruden also appeared in that finale.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
You have to remember
Officer Gruden ripped.
This is wrong. I announced earlier today that we're getting 8-Ball, Magic 8-Ball the movie. Actually, 8-Ball the movie, I would go to see.
8-Ball, I'd watch, yeah.
Yeah, Magic 8-Ball, not so much. Although, I've known a few 8-Balls that have been magic, oddly enough. But the Magic 8-Ball toy, where you shake it and you ask it a question and it tells you something, that's being made into a major big-budget motion picture.
Hard to see the plot.
It's a toy, not a movie.
Paramount and Mattel are combining forces on that piece of cinematic genius. However, Adam McKay, who, of course, is the partner and oftentimes director and co-writer of Will Ferrell's movies, has announced that their Anchorman sequel that they pitched to the studio was turned down yesterday.
No way.
Not interested, thanks.
That is shocking.
No, we don't want to make a sequel to one of the best comedies of the past 10 years. No, 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 not us. We would rather make 8-Ball the movie.
I don't, there's got to be something to this.
No.
And you said it wasn't that it was too expensive to make.
No.
Because the principals were willing to take less,
Will,
right?
Steve Carell, Paul Rudd all agreed to come back and take pay cuts in order to get the comedy made. No, thanks. No, we're too busy developing a Spirograph in 3D. No, we got Etch-A-Sketch with the Katherine Heigl coming up on the slate next season. So we have no time for you.
Unbelievable.
No, we got Jax, the movie. Checkers. The hell?
Nobody wants that, you stupid asshole.
Wow. Seems a little hostile. Time Magazine has unveiled their list of the top, 100 most influential people. A lot of celebrities on that list. They break it down into categories: heroes, artists, thinkers, and leaders. So there's people like Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, even Sarah Palin made the list this year. But Lady Gaga, Steve Jobs, Sandra Bullock, Simon Cowell, Lea Michele of Glee, Conan O'Brien. These are all people who made the list this year as influential artists and entertainers. And I think, for the most part, they got it right on. What Time did this year was different was they also released a list of the top 100 least influential people, which I think is appropriate, so they could slam some of the people we don't love. They broke it up into categories: slimy bastards, flameouts, losers, and morons.
Sounds like the Breakfast Club movie.
On the slimy bastard list, John Edwards.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can see that. John Gosselin. Yep. In fact, anyone named John is on the list, apparently. Lindsay Lohan and Michael Lohan. Bernie Madoff. Tila Tequila. Nicolette Sheridan made the list.
What? Great list.
Flameouts. You have Katie Couric. Carrot Top. Witches. I'm not sure why they're picking on witches. Carson Daly, our buddy Carson Daly made the flameout list. That's not silly. Right.
By the way, that's so unfair because
really
his Last Call show on NBC, really entertaining show.
Yes.
And whenever he hosts any type of countdown or like a New Year's Eve type deal, he's awesome. Mm-hmm. He's excellent.
Always does a good job. Yeah.
The moron list is my favorite. Heidi Montag and Spencer Pratt top the list.
Of course.
That's one and two. Paula Abdul is on the list. Is your Brian Dunkelman.
Oh.
Joaquin Phoenix. Carrie Prejean, Nadia Suleiman, Tom Likas. The list goes on and on.
That's a good
on.
List.
So you can check it out at time.com if you're interested. Let's take a look at today's.
Does Tom Likas have a comment?
Unbelievable.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, really.
What do you like to drink?
A wine.
Yeah.
Listen to my new show, The Tasting Room. We have to taste things. Sure. Oh, the things I've tasted.
Wow. Sorry I asked. Tom?
Really?
Okay.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Cloris Leachman is 84 years old today. Willie Nelson celebrates his 77th birthday. Worst singer ever.
Nope.
Adrian Pasdar is 40. Willie Nelson, not a good singer. Likeable.
He is a great. He does not have a great voice.
Entertainer.
He is
not
an outstanding singer.
American treasure.
How can you be an outstanding singer and not have a good voice? Aren't those things go hand in hand?
Not necessarily, because he has brilliant technique. He's an unbelievable interpreter of a song's lyric. He really is.
Like Kesha.
Exactly. He is Kesha-esque.
Adrian Pasdar from Heroes is 41. Akon celebrates his 37th birthday. Johnny Galecki from Big Bang Theory is 35. And Kirsten Dunst celebrates her 29th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Nice.
Thank you, Ralph, and thanks so much to everybody for listening to the Kevin Bean Show, and particularly putting up with my voice for the past 5 days. I know I have received a lot of hate mail as a result of staying on the air. People are like, don't do this to us. Just go home. Stay home. But anyway, I appreciate you sticking with us.
That was just from us here in the station.
Come on back Monday, though, because we got a great show lined up for you, including we'll have highlights of Conan O'Brien's 60 Minutes interview over the weekend. First time he's been legally allowed to talk about what he went through, the hell that was NBC, so we'll have highlights of that. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. We got a great story about some friends, quote-unquote friends, who did something to a guy who passed out drunk at a party.
Oh, this is a horrible story.
When you hear the story, it's going to make you feel pretty good about whatever your friends have done to you. But we are going to be wanting to hear what that was also coming up on the program. We'll have some coverage of the immigration rallies that are happening all over the country this week. Hundreds of thousands of people across the country are going to be marching on May Day tomorrow to protest. To protest that new Arizona law. So we got some coverage of that. And so much more, including, Ralph, your new boyfriend, Nathan Fillion. He's going to be here on Monday.
Star of Castle and Firefly. Oh, yeah. Very, very talented actor and a very cool guy, by all accounts.
If they were making Star Wars today, he would be Han Solo. Yes. Let's face it. I mean, he's that cool. Yeah. So anyway, very, very excited. That's all going to be Monday right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Have a fantastic weekend, everybody. And it's not really the weekend until we play this song. Won't you please help us sing this song, our favorite from the Kevin and Bean Show?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
It makes you happy.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Psycho Mike, you give me a boner.
Roll another one.
Why can't people marry dogs?
Just like the other one.
Oh, I can't wait to get that.
This one seems to be about quit.
Excuse me.
I need another hit.
Betty White on this edition of Larry King. Do you consider yourself a new sex symbol for the younger generation?
It's not that I consider myself that. I just have to concede the point.
Roll, 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 another one.
Who's your daddy and what does he do?
Just like the other one.
Now, what idiot would say something like that?
This one seems to be about
what is up with Whitey?
I'll have another sense.
No regrets. That's my motto. That and everybody Wing Chung tonight.
Alabama hot pocket.
Just pass it around.
I feel completely violated.
I don't bother that joint, my friend.
Come on, keep blowing.
I'm just passing on down.
With all due respect, I can't listen to this anymore.
It's getting sort of late, so I have decided I'm going to dismiss my employees. I'm thrilled with the work they've done today, both the quality and the quantity. Great performance, very, very solid all the way around.
All right, then.
I leave the ball in your court. You call me as soon as you have the courage to. Okay, Olga? Talk to you soon. Bye.
Normally, I don't condone leaving early, but I have an appointment with the horse doctor. How that horse became a doctor, I don't know.
Anybody got any more jokes? Anything funny? No? No? All right. See you, folks.